The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
What is that?
Someone made a tape of something dying or something.
Turn that crap off! What's going on?
I want this music out of my head.
Hey, turn that off! Turn that off right now!
PFW in Progress with Red Kirsch.
Well, Dick, here's the deal. I'm the best there is, plain and simple. I mean, I wake up in the morning, I piss excellence, and nobody can hang with my stuff. I'm just a big, hairy American winning machine. If you ain't first, you're last.
Paul Perillo.
Judd, off in here, I'm trying to sleep. One of you turds is about to get smacked in the mouth.
Hey, stop yelling at me, okay?
And Andy. And Andy?
Hey, Ryder! Drive
me! Please be 18.
Andy Hart.
We were cellmates together, Andy. You got payback coming.
Eric Scalavino.
Remember that time we got kicked out of biology for playing with Matchbox cars?
Yeah!
Who's retarded now?
For now, anyway.
My husband Gregory and I wish only for that which every other couple wishes for. To tame Komodo dragons in Sri Lanka.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Hakuna Matata, bitches.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. Big show coming up. Free agency opens up today, and that is the hot topic on PFW in Progress. The gang is all here until 2 o'clock. Andy, Eric, Paul, Matt in the booth. No Kevin. Guess where Kevin is for the next 2 weeks?
Hawaii.
How does that happen?
Probably took a flight.
Well, he works 36 hours a day. And he saves all his money. And he has no other major things to worry about. So.
Wow. That's pretty cool. Anyway.
What's that?
I can't really hear myself. I'm testing.
We'll be here until 2 o'clock talking about free agency, a little draft, but mostly free agency as that is what's going on in the NFL today.
4 o'clock.
Fred, what's lower than loose change?
What's lint?
Danny Amendola, then, is lint, according to Paul Perillo.
Absolutely.
Rumors swirling that the Patriots might have an interest in Danny Amendola.
Why?
Yeah, okay, let's give out the communication information.
No, that's boring. Let's talk football, Danny.
Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. 508-298-0398 is the ace ticket hotline. Rumors today, Danny Amendola as a backup?
Heir
to
apparent
Wes Welker?
To Wes Welker. The theory is you could now just have Welker for a year, and now you got your heir apparent. You go down the same road.
Why? Because he went to Texas Tech?
And he's short, and he's white, and he catches a lot of passes for even less yards than Wes Welker.
So's Julian Edelman.
Nice little player.
So's Aaron Hernandez. Well, not short and white and all that, but he's a slot op. It's funny. We spend this whole offseason deep threats, outside, and we're just going to go after more of these little guys on the inside?
Well,
I think it's crap being thrown out there, by the way.
So I do, too.
I don't buy anything.
Well, the other one today that was thrown out there, Ian Rappaport said he was told Patriots are very interested in Red Bryant from Seattle. You know, so who knows if that's true. Now, I
don't know a whole lot about Red Bryant.
He's got a personal PR machine in Pete Prisco.
Yeah.
Well, Pete Prisco's been writing and raving about it for like 2 weeks.
My guess is that's where this rumor is coming from.
It's
an agent.
Pete Prisco. I was looking at his top free agents, but also Pat Kerwin.
No, but Pete Prisco did like he I watched every game from Red Bryant last year, and he does the. He did like an agent like breakdown of his skills.
Oh, I know, but Pete Prisco has him as his number 5 free agent. Pat Kerwin has him as his number 2.
Now, I'm not saying he's a stiff. I'm saying the Patriots' interest in him, to me, probably comes from an agent. An agent's talking and is trying to drum up interest in his guy. I mean, would it stun you if the Patriots actually said to somebody, "We're very interested in player X in free agency"?
Yes.
Because it would stun me.
Yeah. Mm. Right.
So I take I'm being told that the Patriots are interested in Red Bryant. I'm taking that as you're being told by Red Bryant's agent. Because that's the only guy I can imagine that would be willing to say who the Patriots are interested in. The Patriots don't do that.
No.
Usually you find out about it when they sign him. Huh, son of a bitch. They were in
the other guy. The other guy who we've been talking for a while that we know is interested in the Patriots is Brandon Lloyd. He's come right out and say
shut
that.
Up.
Yeah,
and
I know, right?
He
can't wait.
Why are you always talking?
Why are you always talking?
You know, and
Marcus Stroud like
it's interesting that
at least Marcus Stroud signed with the Patriots.
Right. If you
if you think about it, though, Brand, you know, why wouldn't Brandon Lloyd's agent tell him to shut up? You know, because if you're coming out and you keep talking Patriots, Patriots, doesn't that kind of hurt?
Diminishes the market for your service.
Yeah, you know, so maybe there is something there. Maybe Brandon Lloyd will be a Patriot.
Or it drives the market up because they know you want New England so much, and if you really want him, you're going to have to overpay because he's already trying to go to New England. I don't know.
We've heard a lot of
reverse psychology there, yeah. I think.
We've heard a lot of bad stuff about Lloyd, you know, six teams. This will be his sixth team, I believe, in 9 years.
Yeah, Greg Bedard put it all on paper.
Yeah, Greg Bedard wrote about it, and maybe that's one reason why the agent hasn't told him to shut up, Fred, because apparently you don't tell Brandon Lloyd to shut up.
I know nothing about anything but sports.
He's considered, and I don't know him personally, so this is not from experience, but he's considered to be a pretty surly guy. Clubhouse lawyer. Some guy said, yeah, he's very up and down, almost bipolar-like, and not meant to be a joke, but just that some days he's great and other days he's really, really difficult to deal with. He's a bad teammate, and evidently was only happy for that year in Denver because he was the complete focal point of that offense and caught all the passes.
Right.
So that doesn't mean that you're not interested in him. Listen, Josh McDaniels was his coach when he was productive, so there's no reason to think that he can't make him productive again. However, I would caution that he's not going to be the only guy in the Patriots offense. We know that they don't run it like that.
But even beyond that, if Brady doesn't like him, he becomes the non-guy, non-factor.
And now
he'll blackball.
We've seen that enough
times. Now you end up having to cut him because evidently this guy can't be that.
I don't think he's worth the trouble. If he's that big of a DB, and he's going to be a problem for Brady at some point, because if he really is hot and cold, at some point they're going to rub each other the wrong way. He's not worth the trouble. He's not Randy Moss.
And did
you
hear him?
He's not this elite talent.
Did you hear the interview that he did with Tom Curran, our buddy from CSSN?
Your buddy.
He's our buddy. He's a friend of the show.
Depends. Sometimes I fight. Speaking of bipolar.
That's true. But we like Tom, and he had an interview with him. It was like one of those video conferences where he was going back and forth. But
this was on their website?
This was on the TV station. Like
really?
Last week.
The quick slant thing?
But on like a computer? No. Or was this like Skype or
stream? Well, I don't know how. Well, maybe he was in the Comcast studio
in
another city. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
You know, that I don't know exactly what the origins of the interview were. I didn't necessarily think that was the important part.
Sorry.
Here.
I'm easily distracted.
But he's, you know, and Greg wrote about this on Sunday in his notes. His parents are educators. He's a very bright guy, very well-spoken and articulate. Sometimes those can be the most dangerous clubhouse lawyer types.
Yes.
Yep. You know, and Greg made the comparison. And it's not, aside from the off-field stuff, because Brandon Lloyd hasn't been involved in anything that we know of off the field in terms of legal trouble, but he made the comparison to Albert Haynesworth. And I think that, you know, there's probably some truth to that. Albert Haynesworth was not a dumb man.
No.
But sometimes when you have a guy with a certain level of intelligence who doesn't like to be told what to do,
right,
and quote-unquote to conform,
right,
they can be problems, and it seems like Brandon Lloyd has had his share of problems. In the NFL, you know, he was with San Francisco, Chicago, Washington, Denver, the St. Louis. I mean, that's a lot of stops in a short amount of time.
It is.
For a guy who, I mean, and he had a great career at Illinois. You know, he played 3 years for Illinois, was a very productive guy, and was like a fourth-round pick.
I think so, fourth.
You know, so his draft status was not commensurate with his ability coming out of Illinois. So you wonder why. And there was stories going all the way back to his college days as to why he was such a late pick.
And those guys, it's hard to really pick those guys out, but they haven't exactly succeeded here. Lee Bodden might be one of those guys. Smart, had a few stops in his career,
sure.
not a problem off the field, but maybe just kind of in a locker room, whatever. Steve Martin, going way back, was kind of termed a locker room lawyer. And it's almost like here they've had a better time with the off-field issues, you know, Corey Dillon, Randy Moss, than they have with these kinds of locker room issues.
Well, if you're a guy that doesn't like to be told what to do, this is not the place
for you. Right. I'm
like Bethel Johnson, but the more they tell me to do it, the less I want to do
it. To be fair, right. I'm sort of extrapolating. You know, it's not like Brandon Lloyd says, man, I don't like when people tell me what to do. I'm sort of extrapolating that maybe that's – this is a bright guy who doesn't like being treated like he's a kid. Like, a lot of times you have to treat these guys in the NFL.
Yeah.
And he doesn't like, you know, Tyrone Poole is one of the guys Andy just talked about. Didn't like it when someone else told him what he could and could not talk about with regard to his body. Right. Didn't like being told he couldn't talk about his knee injury.
Right.
some of those guys don't always fit here. Now, Tyrone Poole worked for a short amount of time. He had a very good 2003 season. Then he got hurt, and then it sort of unraveled quickly. Benjamin Watson and David Givens, I thought, were two guys like that. David Givens, I thought, worked out fine. But I thought he was one of those guys, didn't necessarily like being treated like a kid.
Right.
You know, he was, you know, so I think there's a lot of different ways you can be productive. So I'm not saying this is a reason to say cross Brandon Lloyd off the list.
Well, that was my question. Is he worth it? That,
well, and I do agree with Fred. I think you're going to get him for a lot less the way he keeps just openly pining to be a New England Patriot.
Right.
But I don't think it's going to cost you a tremendous amount.
I'm talking about, is he just worth it? You've invested. Is this the guy we've decided he's going to be our addition to the wide receiver core this year? Is he worth it?
Well, depending on the money, maybe he doesn't have to be the guy. You put other guys in.
I hope he's not. I hope they don't look at him as the guy.
Yeah.
Because there's some other talent out there. If there's ever a year to get a wide receiver, this is the year to get one. I hope they you know, if they want to get him as an extra guy, fine. But if they just look at him as the one and only.
I think if they get him, he's the veteran. And then they may draft a receiver in the first, second round, whatever. I think he would be the veteran.
Well, there always has to be somebody to throw to these guys. And there's news that Brian Hoyer has been offered a second round tender by the Patriots. And so that opens up a lot of questions about, you know, why, you know, would any other team be willing to you know, make him an offer now and give up a second round pick, and if they did, would then the Patriots be willing to match that offer? It's interesting. You know, I think the Patriots would jump at getting a second round pick. I really do.
I still think it's amazing that Brian Hoyer is getting this much attention for having done nothing outside of the preseason.
It's a name.
Nothing.
It's a name. You know,
yeah, I'm not sure he's getting as much attention as
media
level attention.
We'll see, because the second round tender, if someone thinks he's a starting quarterback, is
nothing.
Very amenable. I mean, I would do that in a heartbeat if I thought he was a starting quarterback.
Wouldn't you, as the Patriots, take the second round?
Oh,
pick?
Sure, because what do you need? You don't need him,
right?
You have Brady and you have
and
Mallett.
You developed him. You turned nothing into something.
Yeah, that's good business for the Patriots. That's what Green Bay did for all those years with what's his face, Ron Wolf. Mm-hmm. You know, forever drafting quarterbacks, getting them to play in the preseason,
and
not playing behind Favre, and then turning them into draft picks.
I mean, some people were surprised the Patriots didn't give him a first-round tender. I'm not.
I'm a little bit.
Really?
Because I thought they would want one more year out of him, and that would dissuade people from taking him from you.
And there wasn't a huge monetary difference.
Right. Okay, so now if the Patriots are hoping that people really dig deep into this thought-wise, are they saying, we also like Ryan Mallett, and if we were to lose Hoyer for a second round, we're comfortable with Mallett, hoping that people now start focusing on Mallett and say,
for 2 years, you know, down the road, maybe you're ready to turn him into something.
Right.
You got to turn him into more, though.
Yeah.
You invested a three in him. You invested nothing in Hoyer. That's
That's the problem with Hoyer, and that's why you kind of had to do something with him, because he wasn't drafted.
And
so you didn't have
years,
anything.
You know.
you were going to lose him for nothing. You know, basically.
Right.
So you had to. It was either first or second. You had to tender him something.
And Mallett could be your guy in 2 or 3 years.
Right. Or the Patriots know now he's not, and they're trying to, like, you know, I don't know. It's.
Well, I don't think Hoyer has. I don't think Hoyer right now has anything to do with Mallett.
I'm thinking spy versus spy type stuff here.
Yeah, I don't think. I understand your point, but I don't think Hoyer has anything to do
with
Mallett.
Well, there were rumors
that
the Patriots allowed him to throw at Arkansas just to get him back on the radar. I'm not sure about that.
Don't believe they're allowed to disallow.
I
think we started the rumors, didn't we?
Yeah, I think our emailers kind of got
our emailers last
week. And
that's
fine. It's fun stuff. And, you know, I told you I watched Al Davis, The Life Of, or whatever, last night. The more you find out about the NFL, the more there is this crap underneath. There's all this stuff going on everywhere at all times. So it wouldn't be outside the realm of possibility. The way I look at it is I'm not a big – I love Brian Hoyer in the locker room to talk to. But I don't know that you're any worse off next year if Brady goes down and Mallett comes in or Hoyer comes in. I don't have a lot of faith in either.
Right.
So if I lose him and get a second-round pick, you're right. Now I have 3 second-round picks, 2 first-round picks. I can load up. I can Bill can trade that for a fourth, a fifth,
right,
a sixth,
exactly,
and a seventh.
Exactly, exactly.
Whatever he wants.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be upset to lose him.
Yeah.
Just like I wouldn't, by
wouldn't
the way.
It would be great if they were just over with the draft on day two.
No chance.
That's it.
No
we're
chance.
Done.
I also wouldn't be upset to lose.
Could get a jump on
Ben
our position.
Jarvis Green-Ellis.
Sure.
He's another one of those headline guys. Oh, he's going to be coveted. All right, if he's coveted and financially, bye. I'm sorry. Move on. We got Ridley. We'll bring in somebody. I'd love Michael Bush. I think Michael Bush is the best free agent running back available. And if I could swap Green Ellis for Bush, do it in a heartbeat.
Hey, Matt, one of the jobs you're going to have to do starting right this moment is stay on the Twitter alert. I don't know, who do you follow all the main guys on your Twitter account?
Yeah, I follow like all the Boston and ESPN guys.
Yeah, Schefter and Morton, yep. All those, you know, make sure you're up to date because news is coming fast and furious now. Teams are re-signing players, and so if there's anything that pops out, just pop right in with that news, will you? Will you do that for me?
Yeah, I got you.
Okay.
Jets made a good re-signing, I thought, for them yesterday with Sione Paua, one of their defensive linemen that I thought is good presence in that locker room, and they can't afford right now with the way that locker room exploded on them last year. They can't afford to lose a good presence, and you know it's probably one guy they were able to keep that maybe a lot of people thought was going to be available.
Strippers writes in, he says, Matt Miller from NFL Draft Scout says on his Twitter account, if I'm the Seahawks, I'd rather send pick number 43 to the Patriots for Brian Hoyer than sign Matt Flynn or draft any quarterback in this class that I guess they have.
If you're the Seahawks, you'll be losing a lot of games. So well, that's a terrible idea.
What are they basing it on? Really?
See, it's like draft picks in general. Like, everybody would rather have a draft pick than a known guy. You know, Matt Flynn played a couple of games, but I want to have the guy that never played,
right?
Because he's better,
right? And Jay writes in from New York. The majority
he might
of the,
be better. Who knows? But he's never played.
The majority of the attention with Hoyer originates with the scouts who compare him to Romo, and I guess there's some YouTube video out there on that. So, I don't know.
Whatever.
I don't know. I think Romo's a little bit more mobile, maybe,
from what
I've seen.
I think it originates with the water carriers in the Boston media that have been talking about him for 3 years as a starting quarterback.
I mean, if he had
that's to me where it starts.
To Paul's point about Matt Flynn, Flynn played in meaningful games and did some stuff and has some bit of a track record.
He's Matt Schaub.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, he's Matt Flynn.
He is Matt Schaub. Yeah.
Brian Hoyer doesn't have any of that.
He lit up the Patriots.
Right.
Hoyer has nothing in meaningful games. Nothing substantial. I mean, he has mop-up duty in a couple of things.
He has barely anything in not meaningful games.
Right. That's what I'm saying. He has nothing.
And we like Brian Hoyer.
Love him.
Yeah. It's just
he can be my quarterback's coach anytime.
But you know, the funny part to me is I don't think he's looked all that impressive in the preseason.
That's what I mean. You know, I have never ever said, even like 7-on-7, whew, Hoyer's really slinging it today. This guy's going to get a never once have I thought he looked like a starting quarterback.
But I could almost see it if he went out and, you know, had a couple of those Michael Bishop-type preseason games where you, like, watch him for a quarter and a half, and you're like, wow,
for
this guy's
example,
lightning
has
in a bottle.
Been on our cover?
Ramblin' Row?
Because Ramblin' Row was. You, Fred, put Ramblin' Row on the cover. I don't think we've ever put Brian Hoyer on
Rohan
the cover
Davey
for one of those preseason games.
And I don't, before I get
but
attacked.
But that's my point. He's never even had a great PFW cover-worthy preseason game.
I don't want to extrapolate
Brian
that
Saul
and say that
or
he's,
something?
No.
I don't want to extrapolate that and say
Ramblin'
that he's been terrible.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, he hasn't been terrible in the preseason either. He hasn't, like, shown that he's got no future. But I haven't, you know.
He's looked like what he is.
He had a touchdown pass last year that he almost
football.
He almost killed Taylor
great,
Price on.
Is a heady guy, but not a guy you're going, all right, I'm investing. I'm all in. I'm right. The Seahawks. He's right. My future.
I think he's one of those guys that's a perfect backup.
Even Mallett.
He's not
mean,
as good as Tavares Jackson.
Now, Mallett has probably proven even less, but when we first saw Mallett, what did we say? Wow. Look at the arm strength.
Yeah, that's the physical tool difference.
Right.
Yeah. Height, arm strength, and that's why he went in the third round and Hoyer was undrafted.
Right. So at least he had something that we noticed.
I just think it's funny that all four of us have watched, 75% of his practices, probably 100% of his throws practically, and I don't think any of us would trade for him to be our starting quarterback. Not that we're scouts or these great, you know, all-knowing beings, but all these people around the country want him. But
he has the role that
I heard a lot of scouts listen to this show for information. So
they should.
They're tapped in. Yeah. Matter of fact, we'll go upstairs right now, and they'll be talking to us. Our scouts will be talking to us.
Yeah.
No, hey, Fred, won't. We got the first signing that you were talking about. What not necessarily significant, but Jordan Babineau re-signed. That's
okay.
Keeping you updated.
What team's he on?
You told him to keep you updated. He's keeping you updated.
Atlanta? Right. Seattle?
Well, Eagles just signed Hermans or Herrmanns.
Todd Herrmanns.
Jordan is the safety with Titans.
Titans, okay. Learn something new every day.
He might have been on those other teams, though, before.
No, his brother is on Atlanta.
Oh, okay.
So there is a Babineau.
This is Jonathan. Who's this?
Jordan got signed. Jonathan's the one on Atlanta.
Oh. Okay, so
right.
I was thinking
there was
of
a Justin
Jonathan.
Babineau. Is there a Justin?
I think there was.
We're not the best online Patriots radio show.
And that's
news break. But nothing,
right?
We break it.
We're no worse than EEI, which I hear reading free agents. Now, I don't know which ones are restricted, which ones are unrestricted. I don't know. Well,
plus, they even had guys. They even had guys that were neither in that discussion. Kyle Love's not a restricted free agent either. And Rob Ninkovich is not free in any way, shape, or form.
A good email just came
in. He signed
in
an extension.
You're going to regret putting me on web radio, but a good email came in. You should probably read it. From Robert B. Read his email.
I was just going to. I swear to God, it's up on my screen. I'm
Andy's
not kidding.
Great.
Andy, Robert says, thoughts on Mario Williams. And by the way, I'm only interested in Andy's opinion.
Oh, for Christ's sake. That's a good email right there. Good, solid email to start the show.
If you only want half the story.
I think he'd be a great fit here. I don't think they'll pay for him.
I think that if he goes early.
The emailer or Mario Williams?
He doesn't want your opinion.
Yeah, he didn't ask for yours.
He wants
it's
Andy's
my show.
Opinion.
I don't think if he goes early, the Patriots won't. Are out of it.
I think the only way he comes here is if he wants to come here, and that's call it an Andyism. But
he's
not
going
to get $80 million.
Brandon Lloyd. If he wants to be like Brandon Lloyd and take whatever the Patriots offer him, because I want to be a Patriot, he'll come here.
And he would fit great, and I think he would have a huge domino effect on the defense, all that positive, young, prime of career, edge guy, athletic, end/linebacker, all of it. Just don't get too excited. By the way, the Bears sounds like could steal our guy yet again. I don't know how it's fair they end up with both Peppers and Mario Williams. But
what do you think about? We mentioned earlier Red Bryant. What
do
you have an
that
opinion
much
on
about
him?
Red Bryant? I haven't seen him play much. I don't put that as a huge need.
Yeah, I mean he only had
an interior guy.
Yeah, he had a sack last year, or a sack and a half.
Still does unless he has surgery.
And about 30 some odd tackles. But I guess people like his versatility. He's big. He's
not the kind of move that not the kind
pounds.
Of move that would excite me.
But I guess he's good.
Well, Red Bryant and Danny Amendola. We're done.
Yeah.
I guess he's solid, but he's really soared on these little free agent charts.
Right.
But you know,
I think he has a good agent. That's my
Who's
theory.
His agent?
I don't know.
Oh.
But I'm just I think that not when you see the national guys like this rally around one guy, especially when he's sort of an obscure guy. In other words, it's not like Peyton Manning's the number one free agent out there. Red Bryant, to me, he has a good agent.
He's a high-level player. They were considering franchising him, so it's not like he's a nobody, a jag. But in terms of the Patriots, do you put their biggest need as a guy to play next to Vince Wilfork? He's not better than Vince Wilfork.
Right.
And even if he is, you've already invested in your Vince Wilfork.
Well, if you're going to go back to a 3-4, he could.
Now he has nowhere to play.
No,
I'm not sure he's a 3-4 end.
320?
No. He's 6'4", 333 pounds.
No, he's not playing
tackle.
End.
Yeah, but now maybe
and
he
he's a big
Wilfork
nose tackle.
At end,
but they say he doesn't play that big. He looks a lot thinner. He's, you know, I mean, Seymour was 310, right?
Yeah, but he was
6'6". Not 330.
And he was 6'6".
330 is a tub of
goo. This guy's
6'4", this guy is.
6'4".
330.
Yeah, but I don't. But they say
he's fatter and shorter.
I think he's an interior defensive lineman at that size.
But maybe Wilfork would.
Wilfork would play.
I don't see the need. I don't see the fit. I don't see the desire. I don't get it. Yeah. No thanks. Mario Williams. Let's get back to him.
I like Kyle Love, to be honest with you.
I think Kyle Love's fine. I think you need to add depth to the defensive line.
Well, I think Kyle Love is your depth.
No.
Sean Rogers is the guy that I've
depth is fine, but this isn't a depth move.
No. Well, any move is a depth move.
This is an upgrade move. This is
no,
a start.
This is your front
you
gotta, line
I mean,
move.
If he's as good
call
as
a depth chart.
If he's as good as all of these rankings and he's the second best free agent, you're not getting him for veteran minimum.
Unless he wants to come here. Well, that's what we've deemed. If guys want to come here, we'll take them.
If you want us, we'll take you.
Should Peyton Manning have to pay his agent a percentage on his new deal? It seems like Peyton's doing all the work, right?
Well,
I mean, I don't even hear about his agent.
That's like asking, should he have collected Tom Moore's salary for a decade?
Right.
Peyton was doing all the work.
Anyway, he's making the rounds, and now from where it was only going to be two teams, it seems like it's opened up to everyone.
Met with him and
yeah. The Titans and Houston is even now a little interested, a little bit, I should say.
Are you basing that on the cutting of Matt Leinart?
No, I'm not basing. I'm basing on them saying, yeah, we'll look at him.
I don't think you can be a little interested.
No.
I think that's a bad move.
Yeah.
It's like being a little pregnant.
Well, I think
you're all in if
they
you're
might
interested.
Be just covering their bases.
Schaub, you can't unlittle the interest.
Right.
They might be just covering their bases.
I think that's what they're doing, and I think they don't want their fan base to think that they're not committed. But
why
I agree.
Does everybody hate Matt Schaub?
I agree with Andy. Well, I don't think Houston hates Matt Schaub. I think they like. I think they're even, very happy with it.
Who are they trying to appease then?
I think they want to make sure that people know that they're committed to winning.
And we haven't been on air since the Jets said, "Oh, sorry, Mark, for paying so much attention to Peyton Manning, and here's some meaningless extra 3 years."
Yeah, it was really a nothing deal from everything I've read on it.
Yeah, I actually think it's a very good move for the Jets. I think they're screwed because I don't think Sanchez is the answer. So bottom line is, if you're a Patriot fan like us, you're happy because Sanchez is going to be their quarterback the next 2 years. Well, at least 1 year. And that's a good thing because I don't think he's the answer. But in terms of money, they carved out some cap space. They did not commit anything more beyond these 2 years. And so now he's guaranteed these two seasons. Well, he was going to get one anyway.
Right.
So it's basically it's one season that you have to worry about. If he doesn't do the job in these next 2 years, Andy's right. Those last 3 years are going to go away. They can cut him with no repercussions at all.
And as I think Florio put it, it won't be Tannenbaum and Ryan will be cutting them because they'll be gone with Sanchez. Somebody else will be cutting all three of them.
This is a complete facade, this whole it was, hey, let's make it seem like
Donovan McNabb, like when they did the same thing in
Washington.
That's
all it is, yep.
You got to appease these guys. I don't really understand why. But
Sanchez's comments were laughable. You know, like, you know, this shows that the commitment and, you know, that they have in me and I'll be the starting quarterback. And I'm like, you know,
right.
But contracts don't ensure that you're the leader. You got to go out and earn that. You know, not to sound corny, but you can't just like sign a contract and that automatically means that you're in charge.
Right.
That's he's mentally weak. In so many ways, he's weird because you'd think that he would never be able to do anything under the spotlight. The way he talks, the way he shrugs. Andy talked about it on the Hard Knocks when you were saying, "Oh, what are you doing? Oh, trying not to suck anymore." You know, he's just like this mopey guy who doesn't exude any confidence, but yet he tends to play his best games when it counts the most.
Yeah, no,
it doesn't make any sense. Those two things shouldn't be connected. They shouldn't. I don't understand the guy.
Well, you wonder how much credit actually does go to Matt Kavanaugh. In you know his management of him and
Two things that really tell you about it is that the try not to suck and on some level and you guys are gonna laugh and think it's just Andy being stupid again, but the whole thing about going out with high school girls. No, I'm being serious. If you're the quarterback, if you're Joe Namath, you should be chasing Kate Upton and the guy, the people that kind of Eric chases.
You're right. It shows a lack of confidence.
Right. Yeah. No, I'll shoot for the high school girl I know I can get, and I'll be the best thing. You know what I mean?
Right.
You should be going for A-list celebrity, hotter than hot supermodel.
He might be immature.
Or lacks confidence or whatever.
Well, I mean,
you know, everything is kind of a cover-up for a lack of confidence.
Right, right.
No, facade, a beard.
You could be. It could
beard
be.
Now.
He's not gay.
It's an interesting.
Well, I mean, I don't know if he wants to be gay,
I think
fine.
It's a good observation.
Thank you, Fred.
Good, Andy. Web radio at patriots.com, 508-298-0398 is the ACE ticket hotline. Let's go to, by the way, over the weekend, Chris from Concord, New Hampshire sent an email to web radio. I guess somebody took my idea for soap with a slot, although they call it stack soap. It's got like a little indentation where you can stack the wafers on the top. I don't think that's as good.
No, I don't
either. Yeah, because then you have to press it down and make sure that
it's
adheres.
Probably cheaper because the mold is easier. Yeah. You don't have to. But
or they just get a knife and just cut a little groove in the top of it.
Because if you're going to do that, I do that already where you squeeze them together real hard to try to get them to adhere. Well, I don't need to buy your special soap that you'll probably charge me more money for.
Exactly.
That's stupid.
Right. So anyway, he sent me that. But let's see. Adam in D.C., let's start it off.
Can I actually, while we're cleaning up weekend emails, I forget even who sent it, but like now that I'm on the web radio email list, sent like three emails in with a website, burnyourbra.com or something for women with, it was very impressive. And it's not dirty. I mean, they all have clothes on. Very impressive. Thank you for that email.
Spend a lot of time with that?
No.
Burn your bra for women with
big cans, bras, not wearing bras.
Oh.
It's a nice
sort of the anti, you know, 60s feminist movement.
They're, and apparently it's like a
we're taking it a little too far. Maybe.
But it is a movement because they all either have like,
it's a movement.
Relax.
Oh.
Chive? I think it's chive.com, and they're like chive girls. And they
chive.
Have t-shirts that say it, and I burn my bra for chive. I'm a chivette. And it's like this whole, they're doing it for the website, and They're beautiful.
Okay.
And they're beautiful.
All right.
Real and spectacular.
Adam in D.C. says, I was just wondering how you think Peyton being a free agent will affect the market for Mario Williams or other top-line free agents. I'm hoping it will slow down the bidding for Mario for some teams as they try to land Peyton first. As a team with a stable quarterback position, I'd like to imagine we get some sort of bump out of this. Additionally, should the Dolphins land Manning, do you think we target pass rushers with more urgency? I know it's illogical, but I feel like the lack of rumors about us pursuing Williams makes it more likely we land him, considering the way Bill works. My dream situation would be to pick up Brandon Lloyd and Mario in free agency, but unfortunately, I'm well used to getting value instead of what I actually covet. So
it's not a terrible theory to go with the whole, I'm not hearing any rumors about Williams, because kind of the way it works. We know the Patriots tell agents, you will not say anything about us being interested if you want us to have any interest.
I'm fully in support of that theory. I think if you don't hear anything about a guy, there's a chance. Whereas if you hear a lot, about a guy, I think you eliminate that guy. But do you think Mario Williams falls into that category where you haven't heard? Because everybody seems to be talking about Mario Williams.
But not saying there's interest. It's all media people saying, I think he should be interested in New England and New England should be interested in him. I haven't heard any.
Okay.
Whereas I think there's been too much. Fora reported that the bidding for Moss or whatever was the interest was Saints, Niners, Patriots.
And Vic Carucci reported. Vic Carucci reported that Julius Peppers was practically
a bidder. Different. I haven't heard any legitimate reports of Patriots' interest other than people speculating like we do.
Right.
So, which I also thought that was interesting that Lock and Fora, who believe him for what you believe him for, he's not necessarily Glazier or Schefter, but said the Patriots were in the mix there. I think that's interesting.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
What about the first part of that email? And I've heard this from other people.
I don't think that that's going to affect Mario Williams.
You don't. Or what about other top-line free agents? The teams were kind of wait to see what happens with Manning before they dive
in. I think it's going to be the teams that are, you know, right now Denver, Arizona, Miami. If you want to throw Tennessee into that mix, sure. But you know, like, for example, Andy said Chicago with Mario Williams. That seems to be what everybody's talking about. Well, they're not in this. So if you want Mario Williams and you're Chicago, how's this affecting you? And I think that will happen to those guys. Vincent Jackson's another one who's been sort of tied to Chicago a little bit. That really doesn't have a whole lot to do with Peyton Manning. Now, I think it'll affect Miami and it'll affect Denver. So if you want to say that's a good thing for the Patriots, I agree. Because if you're Miami, all your problems aren't just solved by signing Peyton Manning. So if they get a slow start in the offseason, that's a good thing for the Patriots, I think. But do you think it will have a huge impact on the rest of free agency?
No, I agree with you, Paul. I just think it will just impact the teams that are interested in Manning. They're the ones that...
And I don't think
a lot of them
is interest
in Mario Williams. That's what I'm saying. There's not a lot of overlap.
You could draw the conclusion that, okay, if you're a team in a division of a team that's interested in Manning, you're waiting to see if that team gets Manning, that might affect the way you go with maybe cornerbacks, pass rushers.
I think that's a little overrated.
I do too.
Especially in this case. Yeah. It's not like you're drafting Manning.
I assume every quarterback I'm going to play is good and I need to get at him.
No, but you're going to play Manning for 2 years maybe. You can't base long-term decisions on 2 years of Manning.
Yeah, that's true.
If they were drafting him, you know, the whole Houston thing, they drafted Mario Williams to beat Peyton Manning. You knew you had to go through Peyton Manning. You didn't see him leaving in the foreseeable future. Okay, that's a consideration. But to say that about Manning, who's going to play 2 or 3 years, if that, and you're going to say, well, I'm drafting a corner in the first round because I need to have the best cornerback to man up against him. Well, that's ridiculous. You're making bad decisions long term. The second part is, somebody asked me this about the Patriots. If he went to Miami, would it affect Belichick's decisions on defense? No. He knows his defense stinks. He knows his pass defense stinks. They don't need to give up yards to Peyton Manning. They give up yards to everybody they face.
Right.
They need to get better on defense and in pass defense, regardless of whether Peyton Manning's here, and you're going to have to play Manning in the playoffs. So just get better on pass defense. It's a passing league.
You got something, Matt?
Yeah, I mean, I think this, not necessarily groundbreaking, but it will interest us more because of the team. Terrell Thomas says, it's official, I'm a New York Giant, hashtag the ink is drying.
Okay.
Patriots screwed me again. I like him. I've been wanting that. I wanted them to draft him. Instead, they took, I don't know, some jag that they later cut in the second round. Terrence Wheatley, maybe?
That was what, 09?
2008, 2009 I don't know.
Terrence Wheatley? Whatever. They drafted a corner right before Terrell Thomas the year, and I wanted Terrell Thomas.
I remember that.
And now I was hoping maybe they'd go get him. I thought maybe his value would be down coming off the injury. You could sneak in and get a starting-level corner for less money, but apparently the Giants thought the same thing.
Speaking of Jags that we drafted and cut that are now available and somewhat productive.
James Sanders?
Jeremy Mincy.
Oh. Yeah, no interest.
He's a guy that's shooting up your lists over there, Freddie.
Yeah.
Lists of available free agents. No interest in a guy that might be able to rush the passer, or is he not a guy that can rush the passer?
I think he's a guy that can get a few sacks, not a sack guy. All right. We got a lot of emails coming in.
You can continue to put little pinkies in the dike.
News are coming.
Let's put a big finger in the dike, and that's Mario Williams.
But food is also here, so let's take a break, and we'll be right back.
Dear business traveler high in the sky, it's for important work that you do fly. But on JetBlue, we've made your job more fun with free DirecTV to play when your tasks are done. And with 40-plus nonstop straight from Boston, you won't have layovers to cities like Austin. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Luana, and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand by flying JetBlue for business. Book now at JetBlue.com/business. DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
That is the metaphorical sound of you hitting your head against the wall in your search for the perfect brand new car. Let's chalk it up to the fact that you didn't know AutoTrader.com even had new cars. See, AutoTrader.com lets you compare new cars side by side, even special offers, so your head and heart can both get what they want. Say your heart wants a sporty 2011 coupe, but your head wants the best deal in town. Bingo! A never-been-owned-before coupe that your head and heart can both agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Hey, what's that?
A Dunkin' Donuts hot chocolate with a turbo shot of espresso.
So you're making a statement about the duality of mankind, in that we can be warm and cozy, yet intense and energetic. That's quite the dichotomy you've exposed.
Actually, it's just really delicious.
Charge up your Dunkin' hot chocolate with a turbo shot. Add some espresso to your favorite cup of chocolate comfort today. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
These Dunkin' sausage pancake bites are so good. I love how they wrap tasty sausages in yummy pancakes.
Actually, I believe they took yummy pancakes and filled them with tasty sausages.
Huh. You say pancake sausage bites, I say sausage pancake bites.
Try Dunkin' Donuts sausage pancake bites, your favorite breakfast flavors together in one delicious bite. Grab three for just $1.59. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary, plus applicable taxes.
All right, guys, ready for 2 weeks in the wild or what?
Absolutely. Yeah.
All right, then strap on those backpacks.
Hey, let me just check this text.
Oh, come on, man.
Oh, no.
What?
Not now.
What is it?
McRib is back.
What?
We're going to miss it.
This backpack just got really heavy, guys.
Everybody back in the car. We are going to McDonald's.
Yeah, good.
McRib is back for just $2.79. But that saucy pork goodness is here for a limited time.
What do you think? You guys want to do a golf trip instead, maybe?
That's kind of nature, right? Yeah,
no.
The simple joy of big news. Price and participation may vary for a limited time.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with cheese combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Braves! What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this when you're ready.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed, go, Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. And account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
We all know that Andy is the bully of PFW in Progress. He can dish it out, but can he take it?
I'm trying to read the email here. Guy's pulling an all-nighter so that he can email during the show, and Andy's disrespecting.
No, that's not my fault. It's you.
That's your fault.
You're the one who picks and chooses the emails.
That's your fault. Shut up.
Typical Big Head. He's never wrong, and nothing's ever his fault.
You're the one who chooses
the
emails.
That's not my fault. It's not my fault that I'm talking while you're talking.
Don't have a heart attack.
Oh, my God.
Leave it to Fred to put Andy in his place.
When someone's talking, you have to shut up.
Now, back to PFW in Progress.
He's going to kill him today.
Be in Progress, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. And Strippers is causing trouble again. This is what he does. He takes what we say. If we mention somebody else, he immediately emails them and lets them know.
He's the ultimate provocateur.
But in this case, I guess the NFL draft scouts that we mentioned earlier, they were high on Hoyer, and we're wondering why. So he says that Matt Miller from NFL Draft Scouts has said, so Patriots bloggers don't think Brian Hoyer.
Whoa.
All right, let me finish.
Who is this clown? I never heard of him.
So Patriots bloggers don't think Brian Hoyer is a starting quarterback, yet many NFL scouts and GMs do. I'll trust the GMs.
I wouldn't. Those GMs told you that Jamarcus Russell could start. We told you he couldn't. We were right. I'll trust us. I'll trust my eyes every day. And second of all, Mr. Blogger, who the hell are you? I've heard of Rob Rang. I've heard of Chad Reuter or Reuter. I've heard of about three or four other people from that website. Who are you? Never heard of you.
Stripper says he informed him that we are Patriots.com and PFW is the magazine of the Patriots, and we're not bloggers.
Jack off.
Well, we do blog, but
we do. Everybody blogs. I guarantee you he blogs, although I've never heard of him.
Never heard of him.
Rang has a blog. Reuter has a blog.
Yeah.
Never heard of this guy.
Matt Miller.
Have you ever heard of him?
Never heard of him.
Paul, have you ever heard of him?
No, Andy, never
Paul's
heard of him.
Eating. Don't.
We use their site extensively.
I didn't want to get my face bitten off by Andy. He's all wound up
extensively, and I've never heard of this clown.
Matt LaPan has a breaking update.
Two big pieces here. One for the Patriots. They officially extend the exclusive rights free agent to Kyle Love.
Okay.
And Marquez Colston, off the market. 5-year deal with the Saints.
Oh,
all right. Reported right now.
Really?
Okay.
The receivers are dropping like flies.
All right.
Better get that Amendola deal
done. This is almost like draft day. You know, we're getting news coming in. This is great.
It is. I think we should just go nonstop until the Patriots sign a free agent.
Well, I haven't told Paul, but...
Marathon.
But once the show ends...
How many lunch buys we got lined up? Could be here for a while.
Once the show ends, from 2 o'clock till midnight tonight, he's going to be live blogging.
Ooh.
Paul is.
I thought you said that was going to be Andy.
No.
Yesterday you said, Andy's not here today. We'll make him do it.
No, live blogging, Paul, is when you're actually – it's what I do during the game, where you actually talk to people while you're blogging.
And you don't actually have to do anything of any value, Paul.
So,
by the way, that's Jay Glazer reporting.
Well, then it's good as gold. He's no Matt Miller clownish.
Sean writes in, when 4 o'clock Eastern approaches –
he's probably a really nice man.
Who do you think the Patriots will make a strong push to sign? I'm hoping that we make a strong rush for Mario Williams.
Me too. Join the club.
And any sightings of Brandon Lloyd camping outside the door waiting for 4 o'clock? I think he would be a great addition when speaking about his talent, but his price tag will determine his overall value. I also would like to see Chad Johnson return for another training camp. Any word on restructuring his contract? No.
Well, if you believe him, he kind of said it was done in that vague tweet.
So Marcus Colston, 5-year deal with the Saints.
How much?
I know. Do we really care about how much anymore? I mean, I know a lot of people are really insistent on knowing all the details.
Players seem to.
No, the players do. But should we really care that much about that?
It's called the market.
No, I know. I understand that. But I don't know.
What is your point? I don't get it.
You, of all people, don't care anymore about how much money it is. The guy who's been yelling at me for 10 straight years, about how important it is.
How will we know who's in cap hell? Well, the Redskins are. Because
well, I told him yesterday he finally got his wish. Two teams are in cap hell. Of course, they had to collude to do it, but, you know, what are you going to do?
And they may not be once that case reaches the Supreme Court, because I'd be suing the league. Sue them. Daniel Snyder, you got high-powered lawyers. Sue. Should I not be telling someone on it?
Probably not.
Probably not.
Basically saying sue me.
Yeah, they don't have a case. Phil in Austin writes in, this is about the bounty, and it's another reason to hate the Jets. Does anyone really think that the Saints were the only team with a bounty system? Greg Williams began his NFL coaching career under Buddy Ryan. Last week when Dan Patrick asked Brian Billick if there was a bounty program on the Ravens when he and Rex were coaching there, Billick dodged the question and didn't say yes or no. Like the Ravens, the Jets have had a team and a locker room dominated by defensive players like Bart Scott, Chris Jenkins, Jim Leonard, and Trevor Price also played for the Ravens before joining the Jets. The key player involved in the Saints is Jonathan Vilma, ex-Jet. Anyone who watched Hard Knocks would have seen Rex jumping up and down like a schoolgirl whenever one of their guys delivered a big hit, even during preseason games. I know this is all circumstantial, but I think it's pretty naive to think that there was only one team doing this, and I also don't think that in the case of Rex, the apple falls too far from the tree. I hope Roger looks at all the evidence this time, but I doubt he will. So,
I have no doubt that the Jets did stuff like this.
I have
really.
No doubt that a lot of teams
but,
did.
I mean, I don't know what exactly you're hoping Goodell looks at the evidence. You just said that you don't have any evidence.
Eating a bunch of f***ing cheeseburgers.
Other than he's Buddy Ryan's son. I mean,
it's enough.
I have no doubt that the Jets do this. And I find it very interesting how little outcry around the league. Remember in Spygate, there was a lot of coaches that said, oh, it's a dark, Tony Dungy, it's a dark day. And, you know, I don't know, maybe a lot of teams do this, but we never did. We heard that from a lot of different places. Brian Billick might have been one of them that was sort of outspoken about that. Haven't really heard any of that, have you? Have you heard other teams' coaches? Bounties, oh, that's bad news.
Yeah. No.
Why?
Because they're all doing it.
Because I think everybody does it.
In some form or fashion, yes. Yeah. I don't think to the extent the Saints did.
This might be the worst that there ever was, for all I know. I don't know.
Probably.
And they're going to deserve every bit of punishment they get.
Because I find it hard to believe this is the first team that the NFL has investigated and found some evidence. When it reaches a head, there's usually a reason for it. It's usually a really glaring atrocity that is taking place in that city.
Yeah, and I think that
Tony Dungy had a bounty system? That would not be good.
No, I'm not saying that every single guy had a bounty system. I'm saying that it's pretty widespread.
No, I know. I'm just saying, for him, for example,
I don't think that everybody did.
Hypocritical.
I don't think everybody did.
He's supposedly a Bible-toting Christian, and if he's going, get the card, I think that's terrible.
Yeah, I don't.
That's more terrible than for Rex Ryan, because I think if Rex Ryan does it, you go,
that's Rex being Rex.
I wouldn't expect anything else from Rex Ryan. Tony, you know, was above that. Be like if Eric had a bounty system,
right?
I do have one against you.
It hasn't worked yet.
Alex from Philly says the
Paul won't take the bait. I'm sorry. He just won't do it.
The madness has begun. Free agency is upon us. I know everyone is in Patriots Nation is drooling over the idea of getting a big-name wide receiver, Emmanuel Williams. However, my question to you guys is, what under-the-radar guy in free agency could you see the Patriots getting and making an impact for next season? I ask this because last season the big prize in free agency was Asamoah, but as the season went along, many people considered the signings of Darren Sproles, Jonathan Joseph, and Carlos Rogers to be the best free agent pickups that year, and those players went under the radar. With a lot of talent at the top end of free agency, there is an opportunity to get a potential sleeper that could have a big impact. Our biggest needs are pass rush, secondary, and wide receiver, but some underrated needs are offensive line and linebacker. Light, Waters, Connolly, and Copen are question marks, and all four of those guys were starters at one point. That could potentially be a big issue, as protecting Brady is always the number one priority. Also, besides Mayo, Spikes, and Ninkovich, we are really thin at linebacker, which often showed last season. This is a concern going into next season. Last thing, to chime in on the offensive language discussion from last week, I know a word that is said very often around this time on radio and TV that I find very offensive, value.
Well done.
All right.
As far as offensive line goes, I wouldn't necessarily be looking in free agency to get one of those because
With this team and the coaching staff they have and the way they've developed linemen, I'm fine with drafting a couple of young guys and having them, you know, work their way up into the system.
Plus the guys that are already here, practice squad.
Yeah.
The Copacabana.
Exactly.
One of those guys.
Exactly. So I would be okay drafting a guy. If you think you need some depth over there, draft a couple of guys there, fine.
And you invested in, I know you didn't have to pay the premium, but Cannon. I mean,
right.
He's kind of past the cancer now, which is easy for me to say, but he's now back to being a football player, and supposedly as a football player, he was a borderline first-round, second-round talent.
Exactly.
So that's what you have now, post-cancer, is theoretically a guy that should be of that value.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that is a legitimate need, but I agree with Eric and Andy on that one. I like bringing up a guy like Jonathan Joseph because, you know, everybody always says, oh, you can't fix it in free agency. You know, that's not the way to go. Well, there's a big-money free agent who went into the team that had the absolute worst pass defense in football, probably second worst statistically to us, right, from 2010. Didn't we finish 32nd?
We were 32nd in third down.
Whatever it was, they were really, really bad. And in 1 year, they brought in Wade Phillips and Jonathan Joseph, and, you know, they were much, much better. And they went from, you know, one of the worst defenses to one of the best. That wasn't a cheap signing either.
Well, that's the one thing. It wasn't
Jonathan
really
Joseph
an
wasn't an under-the-radar free agent.
It was a big deal. He was considered, I believe, the best corner.
But a lot
of
people, that's like, you know, common knowledge. It's not like, you know, like Rajon Rondo can't shoot. It's the blanket statement. Oh, he can't shoot. Well, you can't get good free agents, big money free agents. They never pan out. Well,
right.
Yeah, there's a lot of them that didn't. And a lot of the guys that get the big publicity are guys like Albert Haynesworth. But there's a lot of guys that get good, solid contracts that really help the teams they go to.
And
Jonathan Joseph is one of them.
You don't hear about him because there's no story. The story
right.
is when they sign. Okay, that
That's
guy
exactly got
80 million.
What you thought he was going
right.
to do, and he did it.
He only becomes a story again if he doesn't live up to it. It's our whole society thing where the positive doesn't get as much praise as attention as the negative.
As the negative, yeah.
You know, I don't know exactly what Darren Sproles signed for, but I thought he got a pretty decent contract, too, for that role. I mean, he's a part-time
right.
running back. I mean, he didn't sign a $60 million deal, but he's a part-time player. I thought, if I remember correctly, I thought he was franchised previously in San Diego and signed a pretty good deal to go to New Orleans, didn't he?
I think so, but I don't know.
Maybe I'm wrong on that one. But Jonathan Joseph, he was not an under-the-radar guy.
Yes, Matthew?
Just because you were asking, reports out of New Orleans are 5 years, close to $40 million, $19 million guaranteed.
So $40 million, half it guaranteed. My rule of 50 continues to...
Is Marcus Colston a better wide receiver than Wes Welker?
No.
Okay. So 540 half guaranteed. I think the Patriots would jump it. Well, no, not five.
Not 5 years.
No, I take that back. Yeah.
Yeah. No.
Kamani is our.
But that's $8 million a year. So the receiver is going to stay. It's going to be between $8 and $10 million stays receiver ballpark for big money, for any of those guys you want to make an offer to. So
Colston's also had two major knee surgeries, right? Recently.
Well, Welker's had one.
No, I know, but I think he's had two. And
but he's younger, right? I mean, he's got to be 4 years younger.
Well, he's younger. I don't know how much younger. I don't know if he's that much younger.
Yeah, he was a rookie the year they won the Super Bowl.
No, he wasn't.
He wasn't.
You're thinking of the other guy, I believe, the other receiver on the Saints.
Was Colston Matt, the undrafted guy?
Yes.
Matt.
Colston's undrafted.
He has experience for Colston. He was a seventh-round pick, I want to say.
Oh,
out of Hoffy.
Hofstra.
Kamani says, I can say for sure that the Bears are going hard after Mario Williams. They have 20-plus million in cap space, and most of the players worth keeping are signed, except for Matt Forte, who I believe will be franchised. All of my sources say he is leaning toward the Bears.
He already was franchised.
Okay, just... That'll really piss me off if they keep
Mario
Williams and Julius Peppers. That ain't fun. That ain't fair. We'll still go to Super Bowl.
How could he be leaning toward anybody? No one's made him an
offer.
How
did he know for sure? I mean, does he work for the Bears or the agent? I mean, that's the only way.
Well, Kamani is Eric's friend, so have to ask.
No, he's not.
What's in your mouth?
Gum.
That's gum. He's got a mouthful of gum.
Oh, boy.
Colston is 28 years old. He was a rookie in 06.
So he's 3 years. He's 31, right, for Welker? Turns 31 in May or
gonna
something?
Going to be, yeah.
So 3 years difference. Balances out with the knee operations.
Well, two. Maybe he's going to be 29 during the season.
He's going to be 29 in a couple months.
Oh, so two.
All right.
June 5th.
Let's see. Who is this? Oh, this is a long email. I can't read long emails.
But I can't read short emails.
Javon says he's the biggest Patriots fan north of the border. I guess that would mean Canada.
Depends what border he's talking about. Right. We are a show that's popular globally. We have a quarter of a billion listeners.
Million, maybe?
Oh, who knows?
Trillion?
But he thinks that the Patriots should give up the 31st pick for Ladarius Webb and sign him to an offer sheet that the Ravens can't match. This move would allow McCourty or Dowling to move to safety and give us three legit cornerbacks with competition at safety. Although I love Barron, I believe that the Jets are going to take him.
Who's our three legit cornerbacks?
Well, that's the question. You know?
You're looking at
you'd have
Arrington?
Under that scenario, you'd have Webb.
Right, because he just said you moved Arrington. Because in my opinion, on paper, McCourty
Dowling.
And Dowling are starting caliber corners. When you draft guys in the first round or, you know, almost the first round, you should be able to start. And I believe Bill really poo-pooed the safety thing. He's never done it. Didn't he have one of those snide...
For Dowling?
He's never done it. He's been a corner or whatever. Just one of those little...
He's also like a beanpole for that position.
Plus
he's
he
very
gets hurt
thin,
all the time.
And he gets hurt all the time. You don't want him playing the most physical position
in
the secondary.
I don't just assume they both can play safety.
Right.
Everybody seems to... Well, McCourty will be fine at safety. We'll just draft a corner. How do you know? Maybe he'll suck there just like he sucked at corner last year.
Javon also says he wants to bring back Anderson. I like the swagger he brings on the field, and the speed is hard to match. We have to move on from Andre Carter, and adding Sean Rogers in the middle will help bring a healthy rotation as well.
That's what I said.
What exactly is an offer sheet the Ravens can't match? Just out of curiosity.
Is that rhetorical?
Well, I'm wondering, like, what would be an example of an offer sheet the Ravens can't match?
I don't know. I don't really have any interest in him.
Well, he's a good player. You don't like
he's
Ladarius
solid.
Webb?
Yeah, but not as like a, oh, yeah, let's target him.
Yeah. Yeah.
He'd be your best corner.
I don't know that to be true.
I think it would be.
Depends whether McCourty plays like McCourty 11 or McCourty 10.
Right.
Okay. There's a lot tied into that move, and that's unfortunate because we don't know what Bill's thinking there. But, yeah, they need a higher-level cornerback if McCourty is penciled in for safety, and they don't need the safety. You know, I'd love to have Mark Barron at safety, but if you pencil in McCourty as your starting safety, well, you now theoretically have two starting safeties, and you need a starting corner. But if you leave McCourty at corner, now you need a safety. What's all this dinging?
According to strippers, Matt Miller from Pro Football Scouts or NFL Scouts
Draft
Football.
Scout. It's a great website. I'm
yeah,
just questioning whether he's a great part of that website.
He said he's the NFL Draft lead writer. Miller is also the founder of the NFL Draft site New Era Scouting. Matt's work has been featured on ESPN Radio, SiriusXM, NFL.com, SI.com, and USA Today, as well as utilized by NFL, CFL, and AFL teams. Matt was the secondary and special teams coordinator for the three-time league champion Joplin Crusaders of the Central Football League.
Never heard of them either.
Not to swear, but what the F is that?
I don't know. But
I'm not questioning his credentials. I just don't like when guys get all bitchy and
call
us
bloggers.
Someone disagrees with their opinion, and obviously that there's something wrong with the other person's opinion. We're to bloggers that are biased.
I can sum that all up. He's a wannabe scout.
I mean, I listen. You can go by anybody you want, but we watch him every day at practice for the last couple of years, and it's our opinion that we think it's a stretch that he would be a serviceable starting quarterback. I think he's very well prepared. I think we like him a lot. I think he'd know whatever system. I think he's a smart guy. I think he'd understand the system that he's in, and he wouldn't make a ton of mistakes. But physically, I think he's greatly limited, and I don't think he'd be a great starting quarterback because of that. And if someone wants to make him their starting quarterback based on the nothing that he's shown in the NFL, fine. Dumber moves have been made by the NFL general managers that this guy thinks are, you know, the be-all, end-all. I don't necessarily, like Andy said.
That was air quotes.
They all thought that Jamarcus Russell was the can't-miss guy. Well, there were plenty of people who were just watching the draft that didn't have a logo on their chest, to steal Michael Lombardi's line from you.
Yeah, I actually
didn't think that he was going to be a great quarterback. Raiders thought he was going to be great. His general manager that picked him.
And plus, if you're like a NFL draft scout, shouldn't you be relying on your own scouting ability and not what the GMs tell you?
Sure.
You know, you should be watching tape and making up your own
mind. You're a wannabe scout.
Yeah, right. I'm sure the guy's good at what he does. And I love the website.
The site is phenomenal.
I love that site.
Thanks to Rob
Ranning. Well, I love Rob NFL and Chad Reuter. NFL Draft Scout. All the other stuff, I don't know anything about. The new era of Sky, I don't know. No disrespect, yeah. I've never seen it.
No offense. I've been used on the BBC, I've been used on the NFL. Now, I can fluff it up just as much as he wants to fluff it up.
With the Janis,
bottom line
the
is, Janis, I work with you jokers.
The Janis Joplins that he
took
to a championship.
I used to include all
whatever.
That stuff in my resume, but I've given up.
508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Jamie from Houston is on the line. Hey, Jamie.
What's going on, guys?
Hey, Jamie.
We're just checking out free agency. It's exciting.
Yeah, and being here in Houston, I want to pump the brakes a little bit on the whole Mario Williams deal. Right offhand, do you know when the last time he's had double-digit sacks, Super Mario? Do you know how far it goes back?
2 years ago, right?
Double-digit sack season?
Like it was
I'm sorry?
It was 2 years ago, wasn't it? Thought he had 16 2 years ago.
Yeah, no.
2007.
No? Oh, all right.
That was when he had, like, it was 14 and 17 or something in back-to-back years, right, those 2 years?
Yeah, and then he went to 9, and then he's gotten the injury bug. And, you know, I believe it or not, Paul, I do watch the Texans games and catch some Dallas games, and, you know, I bash on Witten, but I'm definitely here to tell you I'm more qualified to bash on Williams. And, you know, keeping an ear to the ground, the talk radio, his teammates don't speak well of him.
That, to me, is more relevant to me. If that's true, I think that's interesting.
The ninja assassin himself, you know, kind of a role player, you know, has been on record that he's got to get Mario fired up in practice and get, because he's not a mean-spirited, edgy guy. He's happy-go-lucky. He's kind of soft mentally-wise, and that's you know, there's more than one person in the locker room that said it. And, again, he's got the injury bug, and I just haven't seen his play. Him being a difference maker. If you want to look at somebody, and again, they're not eligible, but, you know, a Connor Barwin was a guy in the stable that, you know, the Brooks Reed you guys are on, but, you know, a Connor Barwin is a prototype guy that, you know, I think, you know, could work that we, you know, there's guys out there we could probably make deals for and get much productivity from without the price tag.
Connor Barwin was a guy we liked coming out of the draft, too. He was one of our, you know, top guys at that position. Seemed to have the numbers that Bill is always looking for, and we're hoping that he was going to be a draft pick. But, you know, to go another one of these guys that we hope maybe you can get him later, but might be disappointed the way Andy was with Terrell Thomas.
Yeah, and a guy I talked about a couple of years ago, and Andy, you scoffed at me a little bit, was Jason Babin. You know, I actually know Jason personally and have some friends and watched him. And, you know, he had a tough time after the Texans finding a home, but everywhere he went to, he was productive. He had 18 sack season last year, and, you know, everybody passed on him. And, you know, I still think that's a guy that has a little bit more upside with less of a price tag as well.
Well, he got good money, didn't he? He went to Philly, right?
Yeah. No, he went for next to nothing. He did not get a whole lot of money for that signing. As a free agent.
Yeah, and can you clarify, you know more than I do, you're with Mario Williams, the injury bug. I know he had the pec issue last year. What did he have before that? Because I know he had a bunch of 16-start seasons.
Yeah, he was good for his first 4 years, and then the year before last he came in, and I think it was a groin or a quad, I think, but I could be.
But, I mean, he still played in like 13 or 14 games that year. So he had one injury last year. He started the first 5 games, tore a pec, and missed the rest of the year. I think it's a little unfair to say the injury bug got him.
He's dealt with injuries the last 3 years, and he had a severely curtailed season last year. Well, but yeah, I mean that pec is a major.
Dealt with injuries while playing in all 16 games, despite you painting him as the softest of goo.
I'd take him.
He's tough.
You know who else is soft? DeMarcus Ware. Warren Sapp says he couldn't leave an ant to a picnic party in his backyard or whatever the stupid quote was. I'll take it. You know, I at some point I want guys that are athletes that can make plays. And I think Mario Williams is an athlete that can make plays. Yeah. And I also think he'd be very. I mean, didn't he have? What did he do last year in his first five games?
And Adalius Williams was an athlete who was supposed to make.
I don't know who Adalius Williams is.
No.
I don't know who Adalius Williams
listen,
is.
Listen, a lot of people.
There's a big difference between being the number one pick in the draft, who was the centerpiece of a defense, and riding Ray Lewis's coattails. Clearly, Adalius Thomas rode. What the hell was that?
I think he's a telemarketer.
Yeah, that's your wife calling.
A lot of people also said
pick up milk.
That Adalius Thomas was a product of
thanks
the defense
the call,
he
Jamie.
Played on. And
right.
we all, you know, and myself included, because I was enamored with
but
him when he got here.
Adalius Thomas
no, I understand
to
that.
Mario Williams is two totally different guys, career paths, makeups.
But I'm just saying, you know, like we're somehow comparing what people thought about Adalius Thomas to Mario Williams. Forget about their pedigree. The pedigree is obvious,
right.
And you're absolutely right. There were a lot of people who didn't think Adalius Thomas was worth the adoration that the Patriots heaped on him.
I loved it.
I chalked it up as another Borges column, finding a way, finding someone to say something about the Patriots that they did wrong. Well,
he had the scouts saying it.
The scouts were all saying this stuff, that he's a product of Ray Lewis, he's a product of that Ravens defense, and it cited chapter and verse of guys that left that Ravens defense that went on to free agency elsewhere and flopped. Including our own old friend, Dwayne Starks.
And another issue I have is, in five games, Wade Phillips is well-respected as a defensive coordinator, right? He turned that defense around.
Yes.
I think Bill Belichick is well-respected as a defensive coach. In five games under Wade Phillips, Mario Williams had five sacks. So he was on pace already, despite the change in system, for a 16-sack season.
And I also heard people refer to him as a potential defensive player of the year candidate based on those five games, the start of his season. I don't know, and I will trust Jamie, because obviously...
I won't, screw it.
No, because he watches the games the Texans play, and maybe he's looking at it, you know, and doing what we talked about at the end of the season. I'll tell you, for as great as he was, the defense didn't skip a beat
nope.
when it put all those kids out there, and they all... We're animals. We watched that Baltimore playoff game, Andy and I.
J.J. Watt.
They were animals in that game. Mm-hmm. Barwin, Reed, Watt, those guys were all over Flacco. They were all over Dalton the week before in the Cincinnati game. So clearly it wasn't just about Mario Williams. No one's saying that he's at that level, because clearly Houston's not falling over themselves to – retain him
right
so far anyway and
right.
I don't know what they'll do in the next couple hours.
Bit of irony here in these arguments we're in. We're criticizing the guy in Seattle because he doesn't watch Brian Hoyer on every day, and we're criticizing the guy in Houston who watches Mario Williams every day.
I'm not sort of taking your side on that.
Well,
one.
we in this case.
He said the injury bug bit him. Well, he tore a pec last year. That's a major injury. And then he missed three games.
Yeah,
the
I was
year
just
before.
Going by,
I don't know
by his play.
Other than that, he started all 16 games of every year. Oh, the year before, too. Well, then he toughed it out. You said he's a pussy, but he toughed it out.
And I like the last time, you know, the whole double-digit sack thing, and then he proceeds to say, yeah, he had nine, you know,
right.
the next year. I'm like, okay. So, in other words, you're telling me you put him on the Patriots right now and he has 30 more sacks than anybody else in the Patriots for his career? Is that somewhat relevant unless we re-sign Andre Carter?
Right. Brett in Illinois says, hey, guys, and Paul, I don't know, I wanted to be different. when were the franchise tag numbers locked down? I heard that Manning being cut and Eli's restructure will have an impact on the Drew Brees number. So do these wide receiver contracts that get signed today, Colston, have an impact for the number for Welker?
Brees is an exclusive franchise player, meaning his tag is set after all the activity this spring. Whereas the regular franchises are based on last year. And nobody can talk to Brees and try to get Brees.
Thanks, and I actually don't want Williams. Our track record with the top defensive free agent has not been good. Colvin and Thomas. Well, Colvin was just unlucky. I mean,
and Colvin also wasn't that level of...
He wasn't, and he was also productive here despite breaking his hip.
Right.
He had a very... If you go back and look, you know, these years, you forget he had like 8.5 sacks. I mean... He was almost the guy he was in Chicago, because he was never great. He was always right around 10 sacks, couple Pro Bowl seasons, but he was never 18 sacks, like the best pass rusher in the league. And he was kind of close to that when he was here.
Yeah, and
that was another one.
He was okay, and he would have continued to be
consistently
okay.
productive,
yeah.
though.
Because you saw the difference.
Right.
He had a weird gait after the.
Absolutely.
So he would have been better. I'm fairly confident saying he would have been better had he never broken the hip.
Absolutely. TG and NJ, guys, I'm so excited to see which free agent veterans coming off an injury Belichick is going to lowball. Can't wait to see which quality free agents end up on which teams other than the Patriots. Guess we won't know for about a week or so after the good players have all been taken. Don't want to be too hasty. Got to wait for the prices to go down. And, guys, can you assure me if Peyton goes to Denver that the Patriots don't pick up Jesus and cleats?
Well, I can't assure you that, but I would be very surprised.
That would suck.
Yeah.
He's got to go to Jacksonville, doesn't he?
Yeah.
That's what everybody's saying.
It's his hometown.
Your buddy, Andy.
Is that the only reason why people are saying that?
And it's not really fair.
But
you drafted a guy in the top 10 to be your franchise quarterback. Now you're going to bring in the most popular guy in the history of the state of Florida to be his backup? I mean, you're creating a circus.
I've seen enough.
I've seen enough of both of them. And you know what? I can't think of his name, but the guy from Missouri is way better than
Blaine Gabbert.
Is not.
Yes, he is. He can throw the football from A to B, and it actually lands near B.
Near B is the key.
Well, he looks fine hooking up with Taylor Price late in the year.
Yeah, both times.
You're just a biased blogger over there.
That's true.
Well, that was kind of hard to argue that wasn't a biased criticism.
But speaking of Manning, I am hearing that Denver is the front runner.
I love when you're hearing stuff.
I love when Fred has his nose to the grindstone.
Yeah, got your ear to the ground?
Eric should put his nose to the grindstone.
And,
he's right now.
I'd ruin the grindstone.
And Tebow
he's standing up, but it actually is.
And Tebow to Jacksonville, as everyone speculates, would probably happen.
I'll give you a, the sarcastic emailer there. I'll give you a guy, the injured guy that the Patriots will lowball, Luis Castillo.
Louis.
Has some.
Is he the steroid user?
Has some flexibility there. Played in 3-man, 4-man fronts.
It's hard to know with those ex-Chargers which one is and isn't the steroid user.
He is. He's the guy out of Northwestern that fell on his sword coming out of the draft. Said, I did it. I wish I didn't, but I did.
Mike Vrabel shredded.
Blah, blah, blah. Yes.
I look in there. Matt's got his bracket up on his screen. he sees me look, and he quickly changes it to Twitter.
This is actually the office bracket.
The office bracket. Oh, that means it's different, right?
For clarification.
I asked him to set it up.
Unless there's free agents in the NFL on the bracket, you need to be looking at Twitter.
Oh, stop it.
He's already done more work than Kevin's ever done for this show.
True. That's true.
For clarification purposes, according to our friends at Wikipedia, Babin signed a 5-year, $28 million deal that included $5 to $6 million guaranteed. So it was not a huge deal.
No.
Certainly not for 18 sacks.
Mikey Vandalism writes
we give him that?
From East Haven, Connecticut.
5 for 28? No way.
I would.
But we wouldn't.
If he's an 18-sack guy, not just a guy who got 18 sacks.
He says, with free agency looming today,
imagine what he could do, Paul, with a real defensive coordinator, not an offensive line coach drawing up the schemes every week.
I'll just read the email.
Who's our defensive coordinator?
Yeah, I'll listen to you,
Matt Patricia.
Oh.
Don't play dumb.
Well, I just was wondering who you considered the real one.
Well, we have two, at least. We have a head coach who's a defensive coordinator and Matt Patricia who's a defensive coordinator. They have none. They have a head coach who's a quarterback's coach and a defensive coordinator who's an offensive line coach.
I get so mad. Mikey says, with free agency looming, who do you think is most likely to become a Patriot? You guys were talking last week about giving up a first for Mike Wallace. What about giving up a first for the guy who shut down Mike Wallace twice last year in budding Baltimore cornerback Ladarius Webb? He's only 26 and just took over as their number one corner last year when Foxworth went down and Webb went wild.
Why are they letting him
go? As we saw firsthand. In fact, Webb did not let up a single touchdown all last season. He isn't a large cornerback. He's 5'10", but he's a playmaker. Would you make this premium acquisition?
I don't think they're going to let him go.
Well, that's why I asked the question, what exactly is an offer sheet that Baltimore won't match?
They've been trying to get corners for years. They finally have a good young one. They're just going to let him walk.
And by the way, they let Foxworth go about a month ago.
Right.
So clearly they think this guy is that much better. And they plan on keeping him.
They have, what's his name, Jimmy Smith?
Mm-hmm.
Smith?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. From the Colorado.
Who's scary because of his off-field troubles.
But I'm just saying.
Physically. Very gifted.
They've been trying to develop young corners. Why, unless you absolutely break the bank and make it something they can't match, and is Bill going to do that for
it's such a cumbersome process. I think it ties your hands for a week in the middle of a very important time.
But if it was worth it, it's worth it. I don't think he's worth it. Do you think he's Darrell Revis? Do you think he's a starting corner.
I think he's better than you think he is, but no. Do I think he's worth it? No.
So
for that,
now you're
going
to have to overpay
for
him, go all in.
I think that's what it takes. When you sign a restricted free agent, you have to go all in.
Right.
And then it ties you up for a week, at least a week. You know, you're trying to get the offer sheets settled, and then you have to wait to see if they match. You know, who knows if there's some back and forth like we had with Welker that year.
Right.
And certainly that was worth it, but I just think it's a cumbersome process. And I think that there are easier ways and other avenues. I mean, I would just assume, you know, go after somebody else in free agency. And then even the kid Janoris Jenkins, you know, I know there's all the – that's, you know, in line with the whole dirty word value. I mean, if you could grab him at the end of the first round, I mean, everybody, by all accounts, says how good he is, but he's a turd.
Right.
So maybe you can
get
a turd.
A four-seat stroller.
You know, maybe you can
let's see. Chris Joe from Houston
writes in. What's wrong with just fixing McCourty? I mean, have we no confidence that McCourty is going to be the number one corner? I mean the New England Patriots.
But let's say for argument's sake you fix
it.
Let's say for argument's sake.
Well, I don't think you can count on Ladarius Webb becoming the greatest corner that ever lived.
Why does he have to become the greatest that ever lived?
Well, because if I'm going to have to pay him $50 million and give up a first round pick,
he has to be the greatest quarterback that ever lived.
He better be great.
But he is pretty damn good.
But is he worth that?
I don't know exactly.
It's my argument against Mike Wallace.
You know,
I might give up the money for Mike Wallace. I might give up the pick for Mike Wallace. I don't want to give up both unless I'm getting Jerry Rice. Right, you got to be great if I'm going to go all into that.
Yeah, for Wallace, I don't really care about the pick. I really don't care.
Take Wallace for both of those.
I would.
Yeah.
I don't think I would.
It's all about the contract.
You just said you didn't care about the contract.
I said I don't care about the pick.
No, you said 20 minutes ago you didn't care about Colston's money. Who cares?
Yeah.
Does anybody really care?
No. I'm talking about us. When I'm a general manager or owner, of course I care about it.
And as an analyst, I care about it. I need to know what's going on, what the market
because,
is.
Because to answer Andy's question about Ladarius Webb that he asked me, would I give? I don't know. What do the other guys get? If that's all Revis makes, then no, I'm not giving Ladarius Webb anything comparable to Revis. But if that's what, you know, I don't know, some middle of the road cornerback makes, Dominique Rogers-Cromartie. Yeah, I'd give him that.
Was that a shot at Asante?
Well, I know Asante Samuel broke the bank with Philadelphia. Remember when we signed it? If they want to overpay,
tick,
and now,
tick, tick,
now
tick,
Fred
tick.
Says, well, just a middle of the road contract like Asante
right.
Samuel.
Tick, tick, tick.
Mr. Contradiction.
Since they overpaid for him, they've handed out about $500 million in deals.
Does anybody really care about what they make?
I don't know.
Does anybody really care?
Fred blows like the
wind.
All
I know is that any contract that was signed 3-4 years ago now is, you know, middle of the road.
You sure?
But shouldn't the bigger money be at the end of the contract?
That Albert Haynesworth $100 million deal ain't nothing what it used to be.
Chris Joe from Houston says, who do you guys think is our most important free agent that we should keep? I think we should sign back Anderson and Dan Connolly in the draft. I think we should draft Whitney Merciless.
I agree.
Wright and Stephen Hill.
Not sold on Stephen Hill.
I would like to know your guys' opinion on this. I also want to trade Welker for a first-round pick and a future pick if we can get it, but this is not because of the Super Bowl. It's because I think he's slowing down. He was slowing down as the year went on. I think we need some field stretchers like Wright and Hill. I wouldn't mind also picking Mark Barron if he's available. But I want to know what you guys want as a pass rusher in this draft. I would really like Whitney Merciless. Well, keep up the show. Great show.
What is this love for Mark Anderson that's developed? I don't get
it's the Tully Vantakane syndrome.
Exactly. That's my problem with it.
Wait, you don't think Mark Anderson was better than Tully Vantakane?
Marginally.
Really?
All I know is the same exact scenario. Both were part-time situational players until they weren't, and then they had sacks, and then they got overpaid, and then they petered out. Well, it will happen for Anderson. But...
Well, here's the... I would not go out of my way to ensure and say at all costs I have to retain Mark Anderson. But I thought Mark Anderson was a much more effective situational pass rusher than Tully Vantakane ever was.
I'm not sure.
I thought he consistently was around the quarterback when he was on the field, whether he got a sack or not. Tully Vantakane got like 3 sacks against Buffalo, 2 more the next time they played Buffalo, and you didn't see him for 8 weeks. And then he had another couple of sacks in a 20-point game. I thought Tully Vantakane
He had a great year.
Jag.
But he also had a good rookie year and then did really nothing for the next few years.
I don't want to go to great lengths to re-sign him. I just think that he's much better than Tully Vantekin.
Well, everybody's got him as the priority free agent. I'd rather, if Andre Carter
New England
could play,
sign their priority.
I'd much rather have Andre Carter.
Oh, yeah.
New England already has their priority free agent.
Who was that?
Basically under wraps. Welker, by tagging him.
Oh, well, yeah. Well, I mean, I want to sign him. I don't want to just...
No, but I mean, they've handled the business end of that already. The rest of the players they need to acquire are not on the team at the moment.
I just know a year ago at this time, Mark Anderson was crawling around the earth trying to beg for a job. And now we're going to sign him to
some
contract.
But there were a lot of guys like that.
You got
a year ago at this time.
No, there are a lot of guys for the reasons of the CBA and all that. His career was petering out. His career was on life support. He was a guy that people thought couldn't play the run,
I agree.
As a situational pass rusher, never seemed to find himself in the situation to get near a quarterback.
I don't want you to take this to a step that I'm not taking it. I'm not claiming this is...
Okay, give me a contract.
This isn't a Mario Williams, you know, this isn't one of these...
Obviously.
He's not a priority guy.
But would you give him $20 million with
God,
five
no.
guaranteed or whatever?
For how many years?
I don't know.
And only if it's like an eight-year contract.
I just...
No. I'm not... That's what I'm saying. I mean, you can't get him... What did Tully sign for?
I don't know.
Too much.
Wasn't it like $12 million?
Well, it came out to like $4 or $5 million a year, right?
Wasn't it like a 4-year contract for $12 million he signed?
No, I think it was like 16 or 17 and like five guaranteed or
we signed him to a $16 or $17 million contract?
He didn't get it.
No.
Obviously. It was a terrible contract.
Yeah, but he got a lot he got paid.
I mean,
I'd be willing to give him like $3 for $15 million.
Yeah.
But not guaranteed.
$3 million a year.
Not a lot guaranteed. If I want to get rid of him,
I'd say
$3 for $9 million.
Oh,
sure, yeah. $3 for $9 million, $3 for $10 million. Absolutely. If you want to make it less, I don't care. I just want to make sure that
I'd have to see the deal.
I just want to get out from under if he doesn't pan out. If he's the guy, you know, who's scratching for a job next year, I want to be able to cut him. I'm not giving him like $8 million up front. So I can't cut him next year.
If it was 3 years, $9 million.
But what do you think he's going to sign
up
for?
Front and then base salaries, except the last year is big to kind of balance.
If we gave Tully Vantekin $17 million, I don't think it's going to cost you that much for. I thought it was like $12 million.
What do you got, Matt?
Like 4 years, $12 million, something like that.
Just a quick thing. I was looking at ESPN Boston, and Mike Reese has a list of all of our free agents. There were three guys really that stuck out as they're trying to get the deal done before 4 p.m. today, and that was
Conley,
Hedebo, Conley, and Slater. And he said that probably
that's
Anderson
so
will be able to test the market.
Let's make sure we get the guys that absolutely nobody will be interested in off the market before 4 o'clock. Matthew Slater and James Hedebo. Oh, it's very exasperating working for this team.
Luca writes in. He says the free agency has a lot to offer this year, but I think the Patriots fans will be again disappointed. If the Patriots don't get Williams, it's going to be exclusively because they're cheap, period. So,
I don't necessarily agree with that.
When you get to those high-priced guys, I think, there's a lot to be said about just not be willing to buy into that,
Well, to me, if you think he's that good, you buy into it. But I don't know if everybody thinks he's that good.
Bud from Boston writes in, I haven't been able to listen for the past week because I was traveling. Having just caught up, I can safely say that Angry Eric needs to make more frequent appearances. It makes the show much more interesting, and it's nice to see him stick up for himself for a change.
There he is.
Come on.
What?
Love it.
Now, finish this guy's email. That's fine. I didn't mean to interrupt
you,
Fred. I'm sorry.
Yeah. It was a 3-year deal. Between $14 and $18 million.
Wow.
And it included a $6 million signing bonus.
That I remember.
It included a where am I looking here?
Well, that's enough to
See, but I wouldn't give him that much.
Right. I wouldn't.
And
either.
I think he's twice the player that Tully Vantekin is.
I agree.
And I wouldn't have given him Mark Anderson that much.
I agree.
Whenever you're gonna
But I don't think it's gonna cost him. I don't
think right.
like I don't think he's million. Gonna I don't think he's going to be like a $25-30 million guy on the open market.
Oh, no,
I don't
no,
think
no, no,
I don't
no.
think he's going to require much
I don't either,
to sign him. I think you can get him between $10 and $15 million.
Yeah.
I don't think Andy wants him back for the veteran minimum.
Oh no, I'd take him back for the veteran.
I'd take him back for that. Yeah.
But I'd rather have Andre Carter back.
See, I don't
I'd
know.
Rather go after somebody else.
Andre Carter's a much better player, but at this stage
Carter's
of his career,
a free agent.
Yeah.
Okay. Coming off a torn quad.
Right.
At
and
the
a lot
age
older.
Of 72. But he's got a, he's a young 72.
And he's been
he's a rip
fantastic
72.
Shape. Yeah.
That's what I mean.
Think anybody would ask him about the bounty system if he came back?
They better.
Well, they already, Karen already asked him.
I didn't see that. She didn't talk about it.
What do you got, Matt?
He wanted nothing to talk
about. Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's right.
Because it was him and somebody else who hit Peyton Manning.
What do you got, Matt?
Report from Adam Schefter. Chargers will release offensive tackle Marcus McNeil this afternoon, according to his agent.
Marcus McNeil from the Chargers release. Yeah. There's always guys available that you didn't think were going to be available.
On June 1st is the rest of that line that he left out.
Bud says, I haven't been able to listen, blah, blah, blah. I read that part. I wanted to weigh in on the bounty issue with the Saints. I feel like there are plenty of players in the NFL who are out to hurt people without being paid bounties. Cheap shot artists like Bernard Pollard and Brandon Merriweather come to mind. I can't help but think back to the Ravens game in 2010 when Merriweather had those two blatant helmet-to-helmet hits on Todd Heap. I was at that game, and the crowd didn't even boo the call after seeing the replay. Players like that don't need a bounty program to tell them to headhunt. If players are trying to hurt each other anyway, why should it matter if they get paid extra for it?
For the record, it's illegal.
For the record, I don't support bounties. I just heard this argument and thought it was interesting. Well,
it's illegal. That's
again,
why.
If you can stop some of it, then that's why you do it. You're never
and
gonna
it's unethical.
Stop it. Yeah. You're never going to stop all of it. Phones are stacking up. Let's go to the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Steve is in Toronto. Hey, Steve.
Hey, guys. I'm off the ledge, finally.
You're off the...
Off the ledge.
Okay. Oh. Okay, good.
It's taken till this week, unfortunately.
You got off the ledge and went into a bad cell service.
Yeah, we're having a tough time with your cell
apparently.
Service.
Keep going, Steve.
Now you're in the alley.
Okay, I just wanted to chime in on a couple things. I think they should re-sign both Anderson and Carter.
How much?
They both played well. And I also think there's lots of other things that people they should go after. What about Broderick Buckley?
Broderick Buckley.
From the Broncos?
Yeah.
He's all right.
I'd rather go for the...
He pushes the pocket.
Yeah, he does, but I'd rather go for the outside guy who gets there more consistently.
Well, I'm not saying instead. I'm saying as well as.
Yeah, I just think you got to look at your resources.
Yeah, you
got to
go prioritize.
I'm not sure it's best suited to go after a guy like that when you need edge presence, you need back-end presence.
Prisco thinks that... Prisco says that a lot of scouts think he was playing for a contract last year, and he can't keep up that level of consistency.
Bunkley,
yeah.
But even if he could.
Okay.
But, yeah, it's not a position of extreme need.
Peyton Hillis?
Oh, he's washed up.
Peyton
he's done.
Hillis is a head
case. He's a head case. He's all done.
I'd take him on a one-year deal.
I have no interest in a running back.
No interest.
What about Cortland Seaman? You guys are talking about cornerback.
A lot of people have talked about him.
I'd take him.
Yeah. I'd make a play at him. Sure.
I don't like him, but I'd take him.
I don't
him.
Really like him. But.
Well, he's not... Well, nobody likes him because he's not on their team.
Oh, no, I wouldn't like him even
on
my
like
team.
Him.
But,
yeah,
but if he could play, he could play. And that's the only thing that Bill Belichick should be concerned about, and I think he can play.
Yeah, Rodney Harrison was the guy you didn't like if he wasn't on your team.
Danny Ainge.
But we loved him when he was here.
Right.
I don't think we would like Cortland Finnegan if he were here.
Sure.
Of course, now 405, we're going to say the Patriots signed Cortland Finnegan.
Beer.
I'd have to meet him in the locker room. That's how Rodney won me over.
Yeah.
I did a feature on him.
What's up, Paul Barreau?
Nicest guy I ever talked to.
And Marcus Cannon did not.
Right. Oh. Didn't pass the same test.
Nope.
The only other guy I was going to mention was Scott Wells, center for Green Bay.
Why wouldn't
they
we
have
just
enough
wanna,
centers?
Why wouldn't we just re-sign one of the seven centers that played last year?
Yeah, they have enough of those.
I don't think
they
we need
this.
Yeah, I'd be very surprised if they went the free agent route for offensive
line. And maybe it's just our untrained eyes, but even with the fourth guy, I didn't see center as being
a huge problem last year.
Well, I thought there was a clear drop down, but you have the pick of whoever you want to re-sign.
Right, it wasn't like...
If you think Copen is that much better than Conley, then re-sign him.
Right.
If you think Conley's okay, then re-sign him.
Right.
If you don't think either one of them is worth re-signing, then go with Ryan Wendell. You know, you have your pick of whoever you think is suitable. Yeah. I mean, it's you. I think you control that. I don't think you need somebody else's free agent where you get into the Andy thing where... You know, well, yeah, I like him, but how much do I like him? Is he, you know, is he one of the best set? Is he Jermonte Dawson? Do I have to pay him money as a free agent? And I know nothing about Scott Wells. I didn't even know he was on Green Bay until He said that. I never heard of that name. Did you?
Never heard of him.
Well, thanks for the call.
I'm not an offensive
Steve
line
Toronto.
Guru.
Our third either email or caller from Houston is Eric. Eric, how you doing?
Oh, I'm great. How you guys doing?
Great.
Do you hate Mario Williams too?
No, I actually want him, but I think we won't be able to get him. Just like Julius Peppers a couple of years ago, everybody wanted him, and in the end, we didn't get him.
Yeah, I'm afraid
but that's
you're
a different
right.
argument. I think you're probably right on that. I just wanted to clarify.
Yeah,
we had some misinformation, I think, being spewed out of Jamie in Houston, saying that he was injury prone, not a leader, no one likes him, all that stuff. What is the scuttlebutt in your area, as Fred likes to say, on Mario Williams?
He's a great player. He did have a few injuries, but nothing to be too concerned about.
Right.
The other guy must have not known what he was talking about.
I agree.
Everybody wants him.
I didn't get to ask him who the Ninja Warrior was or whatever.
Yeah, he was making it up. He was speaking gibberish. I'm just trying to get him to come back.
I was interested in the bad locker room.
Yep, go ahead, Eric.
Is there any way we could ship one of our last draft picks to Baltimore to get Bernard Pollard? Not really because I like the guy.
Right.
Put him on injured reserve for the whole year. Don't we play the Ravens this season?
Well, that's the
yes.
thing. You'd have to put
in
him
Baltimore.
On injured reserve because you don't even want him at practice.
Yeah, because we can't have that guy.
You can't even have him in the
Patriots.
Locker room.
Right.
He got near Wes Welker and he got hurt.
Right. We have to ship him off to the Canadian League and have him play
up
there.
Give up a fourth round pick for him though.
No,
our
that's
last
the
pick.
Last pick they have though. So
that's
yeah.
a heavy. But, although Bill's been known to make crazy draft trades.
I love your guys' show. Long time listener. I've been listening for about a year now. And just keep up the great work, guys.
All right.
Thanks,
well,
Eric.
Thank you, Eric.
Thanks
Appreciate
for clearing
it.
That up, too. We needed a sound mind out of Houston.
Really? You're going to just keep going.
I want him to call back.
And it's one thing if it's just like some random guy.
No,
Jamie. Houston.
Right, yeah.
It's okay to have a different opinion than NFL draft scout.
Right,
but
exactly.
If a caller has a different opinion than us, we have to kill
Plus,
him.
Plus, it's a long time, like, loyal guy. Like,
right,
Jamie's
right.
been around forever.
Right.
But it's all and in Andy's fun. I just want him to call back so I can argue with him.
You're a bad little man.
Argue with the NFL draft guy.
I'm not. I don't know him. I know Jamie much more than I know him.
And the NFL draft guy didn't call in.
And plus, Jamie is a very good caller. The NFL draft guy is a clown. He's
you know what
like
would be great
on his team's Jeff. It
would be great when we go somewhere like the next time we're at
Introduce
something.
Him.
And hey, love your work. Andy would be all over him.
No, that's what you do.
No, Andy will come back and say,
about?
"Very nice man. Very nice man."
I hate the Boston sports guy. I hate him. Hey, you want a hug? I can't think of his name. What's his name?
Bill Simmons.
Bill Simmons. Bill Simmons.
I told you I used to work with him.
Yeah, and you said you hated him. He was a pompous know-it-all. I thought he was God's gift to writing. He thought he created this and created that.
Well,
and then we saw him at the Super Bowl, and you wrapped around him with a big bear hug.
First of all, everything you just said is absolutely true, except for that I
no,
said I hated him.
Oh, well, yeah.
Everything I said, he's a pompous blowhard who thinks he invented the... Absolutely true. All that's absolutely true. But I didn't hate him.
So would you have expected him, Eric, to run up to him and wrap a bear hug around him? Whether he said hated or not, all the other stuff.
Or,
pompous blowhard.
Or Eric.
Blah, 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 blah,
or
blah.
Eric. The what actually happened when he walked by me, I didn't just continue
Completely
to go, and I said hello to him.
You wrapped
shook his
your,
hand,
no,
shook his hand, and said hello.
The story I've always heard is that you hugged him.
There was no hug.
Hey, Paul Perello.
How much do
bear
I like
hug.
To touch people?
Bear hug.
You don't, but
Which
I mean, you've been known
all
to, you've
that
been
much
right.
more
Thank
crazy.
You, Eric. Eric, you've been very helpful.
Especially at the Super
no
Bowl
further
with all
questions.
The
you're cutting me off there.
You've been very helpful.
You're cutting me off there, Paul.
You've been very helpful. No further questions.
Let's go back to the phones that are continuing to stack up here. Larry is in Massachusetts. Hey, Larry.
Hello, Larry.
Hey, how you doing?
I
good.
Do every time
three real quick points because you have a good show this, and I don't want to tie you up. One is, why does McCourty have to be last year or his rookie year and not something in between?
Well,
that's probably what
Larry,
he will be.
I think you're right. But
everybody talks in these absolutes.
Right.
Well, that's because
he was as good as Revis was in Revis's rookie year.
No.
His rookie year, not his second
year. Well, okay, I don't know.
Second year Revis. Yeah.
Nah, I don't think so.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
He was a marginable pro.
No, you're right. I'm trying to remember back to Revis's
rookie
year.
Revis says this is going to be a great, great quarterback.
Oh, absolutely. And,
yeah, and then the difference is he didn't suck in year two.
Right.
But I mean, I personally think he had something wrong because he didn't run right.
Well, we all said
and he didn't hit right.
We were probably too high on him his rookie year, and
yeah.
he's not in
and
too hard on him his second year. And you're right; he'll probably end up somewhere in between. But if you're the Patriots and looking at your personnel, you don't know what to count on at this point.
I mean,
so
and
you have
should
to,
count on the first because you drafted him in the
going
first
into
round.
The season Paul didn't.
What? I'm sorry.
Last year, Paul, you can't expect this man to be that good.
Right.
Well, no, I didn't expect him to duplicate the seven.
Go down to the depth.
The seven interceptions, I didn't say you could count on, but I counted on him being a good player.
Starting caliber corner.
Yeah, and he wasn't.
Yeah.
Not breaking records for yards allowed.
Yeah, no. I'm not making excuses for last year. I'm just saying that I can't see it has to be one or the other. The other thing I meant to tell, ESPN last year had Hoyer going to Seattle, big time, hot, heavy trade rumors and da da da. That fool they have from Seattle that lives in Seattle,
John Clayton.
Yeah, and then everybody else picked up on it. So that may be where that's just hanging around from then.
Oh, okay.
And the other one, and I'm sorry about this, but you guys never mention about the guys you wanted to take that were a bust. All I hear Eric say is, oh, we wanted him.
Right. Good, Larry. Good.
And then when I hear him on the draft
Larry,
shows,
you couldn't be more correct. I'm the only guy on here that tells you about all the draft picks that I missed on, like Vernon Golston. I tell you all the time, Larry, about guys that I loved in the draft, and Aaron Maben's another one. I have no problem telling you that I miss on a lot of guys.
For Quinn to make a sack.
All right.
Well, he had five last year and two block punts.
Hey, Larry, how about Vernon Golston?
How many minutes he played?
I've admitted that I was wrong on him. Why are we all talking?
Minutes, you would be all over our team.
It takes 3 years to analyze a draft pick, Larry.
Guy,
sing it, Larry, sing it.
Guy we wanted that was a bust.
I mean, that's the first year, and in that kind of position, you can't really say that much about in reality.
Larry, that one was so good, I'm opening up another bottle of Diet Coke.
Another one, Paul?
It was already kind of open already.
But I'm older than dirt, too. I mean, I remember draft choices that you would cry about in the fourth and fifth position.
Do you remember the Patriots drafting Fran Tarkenton?
Oh, yes.
Sure.
How about when they drafted Ron Burton?
Oh, my God, and when they traded for that crazy quarterback from Minnesota. What was it?
Joe Capp.
Yeah. Oh, I cried. the tears ran down. I mean, it was like, oh. But anyway.
All right, Larry.
Okay, you have a good day.
All Larry, right. you just made my whole day, my friend. Thank you for that call.
Larry's really growing on me. He's becoming one of our better callers. Yeah. Was he not the one criticizing the play-by-play guys, or was that a different old coot?
I don't. I can really feel the love.
Yeah. Let's go to the phone line here.
Ace Ticket Hotline. With a very big head.
Daniel is from Charlotte, and he wants to talk about the offensive line. Hey, Daniel.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Hope you're doing well.
We're doing excellent.
Hey, now, none of y'all are leaving for the Herald, are you?
Nope. Paul is trying, but
no.
They won't have any of it.
Paul is actually, I'm taking into the agent business. Yeah. And I'm pimping my client.
Paul's making recommendations now to the Herald.
All right, well, just
he recommended Andy.
I talked to my old boss yesterday, and I recommended someone. I'm not going to talk about who, but something like me and Andy have been talking about this guy for a while. We think he'd be perfect.
Why don't you just say that?
Right.
No.
Jeff Howard.
No, I said no.
Well, make sure he tweets a lot. I think Andy likes that.
He will. So.
He tweets a lot.
The person we recommended, who Paul doesn't want to say, whose name is Jeff Howe, tweets a lot.
He tweets a lot, but he actually tweets about, you know, relevant stuff.
But sometimes
the guy
not always.
People.
Not
unlike,
always.
Good
unlike
balance. The guy he's replacing.
And I promise you, he won't live tweet at a funeral.
Very well. Very well. Well, hey, a couple questions about the offensive line. Number one, I can't believe more Patriots fans aren't thanking God that Dan Copen's not going to be on the field for us anymore. I mean, I don't know how many times I saw up the gut pressure thanks to him. I know he's close to Tom Brady and all, but Dan Connolly was so much better. Dan Copen's been miserable for years. Years.
You think so?
I really think that if you watch the Patriots last year and you compare pressure up the middle, I really think that it improved overall last year when you relate it to 2010, 2009, 2008.
You know,
you can't tell me that doesn't have to do with Dan Copen.
No, but see, here's the thing. Dan Copen goes down. Now Dante Scarnecchia or, you know, Bill O'Brien is saying, okay, let's increase the help. in the middle. And
they also had an all-pro right guard.
Right. It's hard.
You brought Brian Waters in. In other years, Neal right. goes down, and that guy's Conley.
Right. It's
we
hard.
Saw Conley get bitch slapped by Sean Ellis right. in the postseason.
It's hard to tell. And here's the thing.
It's a three-man effort,
I mean,
in the middle.
Tom
Sean
Brady's,
Ellis hasn't made a play
Tom,
since.
Tom Brady's no fool. I mean, as much as he likes Copen, if he thought that Copen was a liability, he would make it known.
And I think this yeah. is another case of the extremes. He's not a Pro Bowl elite center. He's not Nick Mangold. He's not at that top. But he's also not as bad, I don't think,
no.
as right. the caller is making him out to be. He's in the middle somewhere.
They've been a solid offensive line
no question,
for 10 years.
He gets pushed around. I mean, Chris Jenkins used Chris to absolutely bend him yeah. over and own him.
But when
he's
Chris,
right.
Jenkins
Chris Jenkins
is right, he's right. one of the best.
No, I know. But right.
I mean, who would you rather have, I guess, if somebody you said you could have Connolly or Copen next year, who would you pick?
I would take Connolly.
I would take even, Connolly because of his versatility.
Even yeah. money? Even
I would
money,
take
I'd
Copen.
Take Copen. You, I think really? Copen's okay. a better player.
But I think
but it wouldn't be even money, so I would take Connolly because I think he'll be a better all-around value.
I like Connolly for his versatility and all-around value. Yeah.
I don't think he's very good at any of the three
I
spots.
I don't either.
So I
think
really
I think he's like a 4A
I'm
player.
Not asking him to play tackle. I'm only
a backup.
No, oh, I tell you, the two guards. Yeah, yeah, okay.
But I don't think you can undervalue
Thanks,
the fact
Dan.
That he played between Logan Mankins and Brian Waters. I don't. I mean, that's huge. Yeah.
That is huge.
And we never got to see Dan Copen do that except for 10 minutes.
I mean, that's
and listen.
That's
why?
Fair.
I mean, I'm with Andy on the Copen thing, but I mean, he did play. Waters is great, and he had a great year. But I mean, he played most of his career between Neal and Mankins.
Well,
I mean, Neal
sometimes.
Neal's not a slouch.
Yeah, Neal half the time.
Yeah, Neal when he was out there, and right. otherwise it was some jag, the latest jag off the heap.
It right. might have been Conley.
Sometimes
that's yeah. my point.
But I mean. I think that you'll be able to get Conley for less than you'll get Copen, and the fact that he also, as Eric and Fred have pointed out, plays the two guard spots, although I have no doubt that Copen could do that if he had to, too.
Yeah, he probably could. I don't know.
But he's a starter, so he doesn't have to.
Yeah, I'm not sure about his feet.
I'm not sure you know.
I've just never seen him
move. When was the last time you saw your feet?
Oh! Pot? Hello, kettle.
Kettle.
Yeah. Feet.
It's more like pot, belly.
Wow. I see what you did there.
Wow.
You pigs.
Paul, with a rare...
Look at him.
Wow, yeah, I know the disdain.
Any of those lights on the phone line, Jamie, yet?
not yet, but another long-time caller, Chris with a TIAN. Hey, Christian.
All right.
Hey,
how you doing?
All right, guys. We got to sign Mario Williams.
Woo!
Yeah, I'm with you.
Are you sure he's injury-prone and kind of a pansy and hasn't had double-digit sacks in 3 years?
Let me tell you something.
He's better than on one leg and one peck than anybody we have on the team right now.
I'm with
agree.
You. I'm with you.
Okay. That was my point about
so,
sacks.
And the nearest competitor would also be on one leg, Andre Carter, so it's kind of awesome.
Exactly. He's the closest to him. So, yeah, I mean, I hope they make a splash and go out there and get someone like that. I mean, this defense needs that.
It's
lots of talent in the front seven. They need it. And as far as Welker goes, the signing, I'm kind of worried about them signing him long term. Because they offered him only a 2-year deal during the season. And I know they franchised him, but, I mean, that's kind of was, you know, that is a lowball offer to him. And I just don't think that they really value him in that 4 to 5 year deal that he's probably looking to get. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I don't think they want to mortgage him for any more than. I think 4 years would be really at the far end of that. Yeah,
but it's about, I know Fred doesn't believe this, but it's about the money. I mean, it's about the commitment there, and that's the issue. Is I'm not willing to go 9 times 4. I don't think 36
no.
million with 18 million guaranteed. But
I like
that's
the 3 year range.
The floor.
I like the 3 year range.
Well, yeah, and I think the Patriots. I think Andy's right. I think the Patriots would like to drop it a little bit, maybe $1 million per year. Make it 32.
But I don't know if that's going to get it done.
And the other thing is, what happens if he ends up playing out this year as a franchise guy, and now you're a year again, and you're going through this all again?
Do we have Danny Amendola?
Do you have to franchise him again, or do you sit there and say, okay, I'll give him a 3-year contract?
I don't know if you can, Paul. You know
how
the franchise tag works? It's 120%.
Yes, I know how the franchise rules work. Thank you.
Sometimes Fred doesn't know when we're marking.
Christian does, though.
Yes, he does.
All right. I got my laugh for the day. I'll talk to you later.
All right.
I was going to hang up on you anyway.
But he just started laughing.
I know we just ignore it. It's a touchy situation. It's one of those because
well, that's why
he says he wants to be here and because they say they want him here, which, it'll get done.
Right.
But on paper, I don't. think it's easy to get done.
But the closing bell?
That's why when Eric...
No, you can't mock that. You set my phone up to make that noise. The
well,
last
turn
time
the
I
volume
ignored
off.
You. No, he yells at me if I turn the volume off.
What? You could make it another noise.
It'll still be a noise.
Mine just vibrates.
But it's only
no,
supposed
no, no,
to be...
No, no, no. If you miss a text from Fred, you'll be fired at Super Bowl.
Well, that's but why that's... you have a phone, so I can communicate with you.
Right. When Eric had made that comment about they've already taken care of the number one priority, that's why I said, what was that? Because I do feel like right now everything is fine. In 2 months, might not be fine, you know, with Welker. I think there's the possibility of him saying, okay, they're going to take care of me. I thought they were going to take care of me. What's going on
I just
here?
Don't see him sitting out the year. I think it would be too costly for him.
The year? No.
Yeah.
But I could see him sitting out training camp, and
well,
that
fine.
Could be a problem.
So oh, he sits out
sits
training
sits
camp.
Out camp.
Yeah. As long as he's there for week one.
He stays healthy.
Right.
His rapport is... I'm sorry, I read a text. Did I miss anything important?
Yeah. The Patriots won't know that he's only going to sit out camp.
Oh, yes, they will. He doesn't have the
okay.
stones.
Yeah, he doesn't.
He hasn't made enough money in his career to
no.
start
so
turning
So to me, that's a problem if we're playing chicken.
Oh, I'll play chicken
That's a problem.
With him.
Yeah,
that's
a problem. I'd be all right.
Why do we want to do that?
Exactly.
Why do we don't want to, but I'm just saying.
So in other words, it's not all taken care of. It's not all neat and pinned, you know, with a nice little bow on it. It's still something that's kind of open.
Oh, that's what I started with before I read a text.
And that's my point. And then you completely shut me off.
But...
Why
I also,
are you always talking?
I also have no fear that he would sit out the regular season.
No, none.
I don't, but what if he did?
Well, he loses money.
Yeah.
Suck it up.
But what do you lose?
Julian
Nothing.
Edelman.
Edelman.
Oh!
Come on.
Wait a minute.
I knew this would all come around sooner or later.
I was playing like big ball tough guy GM there. I'll call his bluff and say, fine, sit out, see what happens. We can find somebody else to drop the biggest pass of the season.
Oh.
That's what I would do. That's why I'm AJ Smith like.
And that's why...
I'd have a
they
lot
hate
of bad
him.
Contract situations.
We wouldn't
Sterling
win.
Writes in, he said, to Kamani, who said his sources say Williams to the Bears, sorry, Dan Hampton says Bears need a receiver, and due to a hit
Vincent
in salary
Sanchez.
Cap with possible addition of Williams, the need for receiver would be nullified.
Dan Hampton, the defensive lineman?
I guess.
From the Bears? Yeah.
That's his source?
Well, you never know anymore, because I watched breaking news on NFL Network last night, and Randy Moss broke news that Randy Moss was signing with the 49ers. You know, the
he
other
did?
One, the white one.
Oh. I was going to say,
I
mean...
So, I thought
it wouldn't put it. I wouldn't
those,
put it past the real Randy Moss.
What are those
for,
things? Was it Ustream?
Yeah,
I thought it was one of those that he came out and he actually announced it. Because I, as you know, this morning I missed that. I didn't know he had signed.
Right. Let's see.
Yes, I know how the rules work. Thank you.
Who's this? Jay Silva says the Patriots re-signed Bannekane to 3-year deal is located, and he gives the URL.
It's between 14 and 18 million. I already found it.
Okay,
keep up.
Wow. And then Tom says,
"Oh no, you didn't!
Great show. Listening to the show today on the topic of restricted guys, I have this to say: can't the Patriots wait right until the end of restricted free agent mid-April to see if that puts pressure on the Ravens to match an offer sheet based off of their cap number a month into free agency?" So I guess we're talking about Webb there.
You can do it whenever you want. As long as it's during the time that you can sign restricted free agents to
right.
offer sheets.
But
it doesn't help you at all
and by
waiting or not waiting.
You hold up your cap as well.
Sure.
You're holding up both teams' caps. So make sure it's a game you're ready to play.
You have to have the cap space to sign a restricted offer sheet.
Okay.
Right?
Yes. Yes.
So that means you didn't do everything you could do in free agency because you were waiting with the hopes that you're going to have this mega deal that you're
right.
signing that the Ravens can't match.
Maybe we'll just take more of the Redskins' cap room. They're not allowed to keep it.
Yeah, we get 1.6 from that, right?
Yeah, that's getting screwed, too. The players are on board with this because the money is technically going back to them. No, it isn't. I said to Fred, it's not the same to have a team like the Redskins hand out a $100 million deal as it is to have the other 30 teams hand out an extra $1 million to some jag. That's not the same. That doesn't change the market. That doesn't increase franchise numbers. That doesn't do all this.
Matthew Slater would beg to differ with you. He's very happy today. They're working hard to get him re-signed.
He was going to be gone, but now thanks to the Redskins, he's back, baby. He's also our deep threat.
You know what? One of my favorite guys, too. No need for me to be
taking
a gratuitous shot
at him. I think it's time for Eric
to
do a London update. Ready?
Ooh. I don't know if I have one today.
What?
You were told.
Every show.
That's blatant defiance, Fred.
Matt doesn't have anything either. He just pressed a bunch of buttons and nothing happened. He pressed like six buttons on that machine.
You type in L-O, nothing, London?
It's all right, no. Big man. We got the food on time. That's the only thing you got to worry about.
How about Big Bang? Big Bang clock.
I'll have one for Tuesday.
You're supposed to have one every show.
I know. I know. I forgot. I've been down in the cellar here watching tape.
This is sponsored by Burberry now.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Lloyd's of London?
In the Big Bang clock.
Yes.
Your London update brought to you by Brandon Merriweather and the Big Bang Clock.
All right.
Not a one who's sponsoring.
But Simon, who lives near the Ye Olde Cock Inn, writes,
luckily we have it up to England.
So I've looked into getting Miller Lite for Paul. Turns out you can't get it in Britain. Is he still coming on the trip in light of this development? It's possible that it's sold under a different name. No company in their right mind would attempt to sell a light beer in Britain. But this search got me thinking, and I think I've stumbled across the reason that Patriots Football Weekly has such a large following on this side of the pond. Each of you embodies a different part of the English national psyche. Fred has the unquestioned authority of the current royal family, the blood pressure and waistline of Henry VIII, and the penchant, and the penchant for naked school games shared with our Eton educated political elite. Andy has the ever-present arrogance based solely on past glories. Eric is vaguely effeminate, sweater-wearing intellectual, and that's Paul good. Just likes to drink to get drunk.
Oh, okay.
You all make us feel at home.
Did you not have Miller Lite last time?
I don't remember.
I thought you did.
I don't remember exactly what I thought
sports,
I did.
The sports cafe on Haymarket?
I thought I did.
I think that's what you brought me behind the rope.
Maybe I just drink to get drunk.
You never actually went out and got a beer for us, like Eric and I did for you all night.
Yeah. Maybe they shipped it in?
They might have specially imported it.
It was on our plane.
Maybe I just drink to get drunk.
Whatever it was light beer. But I could have sworn it was Miller Lite. Maybe it was Amstel or something
Guinness
like
Light.
That.
What we need is to get the stewardesses, flight attendants from Virgin Atlantic to come back on that trip.
And to do more than just bring us food.
Yeah.
It's not the kind of service I'm looking for, honey.
Oh, did you see that somebody sent us a link to a Liquid Plumber ad?
Yes, and I saw that about 2 weeks ago and was mildly offended and said something to my wife, and she wasn't, but... It's about a housewife getting double teamed by these two plumbers.
And they
what? Yes, it's this new liquid plumber that like the first part does something and then the second part does something, but it's all sexual innuendo.
He goes, "I'd like to clean your pipe with my long snake."
Yes. But there's two of them knock at the door, and she's like this housewife smirk. It's like either the start to Liquid Plumber or Penthouse Forum.
There's no way that ad could be shown.
I'm gonna have to go back and look at that. I deleted
that. Inappropriate.
Yeah.
I mean, it's subtle. Like, a little kid wouldn't pick up on it.
Right.
But
I love the things that he finds offensive.
Well, a little kid might be saying, why is she acting so funny?
Yeah, but
there's 99% of the things in this world he thinks are great. And then it's like, every once in a while, there's these one or two things. That was offensive.
And I'll tell you what kind of bothered me.
And I'll tell you what bothered me.
I don't think it was offensive if you knew it was coming. But if you
knew it was coming.
At both ends.
No, but you know what I mean. If it was 7 o'clock at night and you're around the TV with the kid and you see a Liquid Plumber ad, I could see a parent getting caught off guard with that. But if you know, it's 10 o'clock at night, that's okay. It's not that bad.
I'll tell you what really offended me is when I said, Dieter, did you find that offensive? And she goes, no, I kind of liked it. And I was, what does that mean? you're looking for a couple plumbers to show
what's
up?
Going
what goes on around here when I'm at work?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Why is that plumbing van here once a week?
Right, right.
Where the kids go to school.
But it was well done. It was very fun.
It was very – and I actually think it's clean enough. I mean, it's subtle enough so that it gets by, but it does still slap you in the face.
Yeah.
Don't you have it? Play the audio. I'm sure the audio tells it.
I don't have it here.
Do you have it? Look it up on YouTube. Tag Team Plumber.
Is that what it's called? it's Liquid Plumber erotic ad, right?
Is that what it says?
No. I'm just making that up.
Oh,
my God.
Let's go to Eldridge in North Carolina. Hey, Eldridge.
Hey, fellas. How y'all doing?
Are you upset that Randy Moss is a San Francisco 49er?
Hell yeah. I'd rather have him than Branch or damn Ocho. 6'4", and he ran a 4.44 for the Saints.
He didn't run a
40 for the Saints.
Yes, he did.
No, he didn't. Not for the Saints.
Check it out on NFL Network. Yes, he did. He ran the 40.
Okay.
Not for the Saints.
Not for the Saints.
He may have for the Niners, but
not
he didn't
for the Saints.
Saints.
Well, okay, still 4.4. Branch and Ocho can't run that shit.
Oh!
And there he goes.
Down goes Eldridge.
Very good call, Eldridge. But that's our rule.
I heard him go oops at the end there, too.
Yeah. Unless you're a host on this show, you can't stay.
Right. You call back some other time.
That's too bad. Poor Eldridge.
But
we'll talk to you Thursday.
He's, Matt's bringing that
we
up.
We didn't really talk about that. I don't think that's a good move for them. I don't. It doesn't fit their personality as a football team.
No, I agree.
And it also doesn't fit their soft-as-goo quarterback who has been struggling to create this leadership identity for 7 years already. Now you're bringing in the toughest of guys to keep happy. And I know you're probably sold on there's a different Randy, and he just wants X. And it's
oh,
the same
sure.
Randy.
Yeah, it's the
Randy
same
is Randy.
I couldn't agree with you more.
So
all around.
I don't like it on any level. I don't care for it. And it may work. Maybe he'll be quiet and catch just touchdowns. Yeah, I don't care for it.
Matt, can you play that? Ready? Let's play that Liquid Plumber commercial so people know what we're talking about. Let's play that Liquid. Okay. It's buffering, I guess. I don't know.
Well, that's not his fault.
Yeah.
That's the slow internet here.
Yeah. I hit play and it's not playing. Hold
okay.
On.
All right. Never mind. Tyler,
we're enjoying this commercial already in progress.
If you get it going, just shout.
You got it up now?
Here we go. Here we go. Right.
Liquid Plumber Double Impact. Double Impact.
I'm here to snake your drain.
Oh. My, come on in.
I'm here to flush your pipe.
Okay.
Liquid Plumber Double Impact has twice the drain clearing power with a long snake to grab, deep clogs, and a powerful gel to finish off the rest, baby.
Baby. Powerful gel to finish off the rest.
That's porn, baby.
I
actually think it's more offensive.
Is this
on the
a
radio.
Real commercial?
Yeah, oh yeah. Oh yeah, I watched it.
That's crazy.
You saw this on television.
I think it's more, I heard more of it. Just listening without seeing the visual, I think it's more offensive just hearing it.
No, the facial expressions make the commercial.
Facial?
Well, I thought they were trying to be subtle, but...
No, not at all.
No, there's nothing subtle opposite. About it.
What, see,
where
I'm less
you
offended
this?
By
what
it, because
this
is exactly what they were trying to do.
No, this was, NBC, this was just regular TV, probably after 10 or something, but regular TV.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
But that's exactly, they're not... trying to hide it. They were intentionally trying to make a double entendre.
Yeah, right up to the subliminal. Deep voice.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, and the music.
Bow, bow. So, but it was well done. Tyler from Georgia says, the emailer complaining about Merriweather made me think about something. As many times as we saw him crash into fellow Patriots, maybe he was looking to cash in on other teams' bounties. Or he just sucked, one of the two. I also want to share some fantastic news. Yesterday, my girlfriend called me and asked me the greatest thing a girl could ever ask. She said, Tyler, how do I download the PFW podcast?
Hey,
in case she listens to today's show, can you guys welcome Rachel, your newest fan?
Well, welcome, Rachel.
Hey, Ray-Ray.
Ray-Ray.
Send some photos.
Oh, for God's sake.
We're wondering, you use Liquid Plumber?
Or do you wear a bra?
Well,
or do you burn them?
Do you have... big, real.
Okay. All right.
Blue eyes.
He finds a way to make me uncomfortable.
Yeah. Oh.
The Liquid Plumber commercial he's offended by,
know, right.
But not asking.
And a powerful big gel to finish you
here's
off.
Here's a scheduling snafu we may not have thought about, but Christian from Denmark writes in, how come you guys aired an hour earlier live in Europe and we got screwed?
We didn't.
We had our... daylight saving time over the weekend, so here in the United States we moved our clocks ahead an hour.
Mm-hmm.
So here it's right on time.
Yeah.
Back in Europe they probably didn't realize that. I think that's interesting.
Should have realized it. We're the most
now do they have?
We're the most important country in the world. You should be aware of our customs.
There you go.
That's
you've already picked up on our football game and our great web radio show. Now learn the clock.
Okay.
Learn the clock. I'm in a mood today.
You think? Mike Gherkin writes in.
Pickle!
Gherkin.
Just looking at the list of guys that are available, what do you think about Manny Lawson, a guy that most wanted to draft a few years back and were interested in last year? Has the Belichick size you look for, more of a run stopper than a pass rusher. And also Richard Marshall, cornerback safety out of Fresno State that has played both cornerback and safety. Well, that's why he...
Another guy we liked.
No on Lawson. Yes on Marshall. I would take a crack at Marshall.
What happened to Manny Lawson?
Just never really panned out.
Yeah,
never got to it. I've been swayed a little bit by him. One of our industry sources.
Street Sources likes him a lot, right?
No. Well,
oh, doesn't like him?
Likes him, but not what we'd want him to be.
Right.
Jay writes in, interesting. He says, curious how Glazer comes up with so much scoopage, as he calls it, when it comes to Saints transactions, but is somehow a complete babe in the woods when it came to Bountygate.
Yep, and that was the criticism he was getting right when it was breaking, whatever night that was, a week or two ago.
Yeah.
He tapped out of that exchange, so
tapped
to speak.
Out. See what Brooklyn, I do see what you did there.
Brooklyn Matt says, Fred.
It's not as subtle as a Liquid Plumber commercial.
Fred, don't send Paul over to the blog to do that curse words type stream today. It's beneath him. Perillo has had a cup of coffee in the bigs. Pulling blog duty is a serious misappropriation of his status. And, Paul, I know you can't sense whether sarcasm is ever at play or not.
Sarcasm.
So I'll tell you, none is present here.
Sarcasm.
Fred, send Andy over there later today. The PFW blog is the equivalent of being on Mexican radio. Send Andy to that purgatory. He's the deserving one.
Your mother's the deserving
one. So he insults everybody there.
But that's,
the blog is purgatory.
But that's what he does. You know? But that's fine.
He's a gay version of me.
And saying I had a cup of coffee in the bigs, that's gross exaggeration.
It's disrespectful to the bigs.
I had nothing in the bigs.
Oh, you were doing Agate at the Herald.
Right.
He was doing Agate. Eric is. I mean,
do they still do Agate at the Herald? Is that what
they
call it?
That's what everybody calls it, isn't it?
Yes.
That's the name of... We call it that when we make Eric do it for the draft preview.
All right, well, that music... Matt is telling us it's the end of the show, and I look down on the clock, and sure enough, it's almost 2 o'clock.
Unless you're in England, keep listening.
Right.
It'll be another hour.
Free agency starts at 4 o'clock. Somebody will be on the blog. Who's covering tonight?
All of us.
Who's on tonight?
Whoever finds it first.
All right.
Eric should leave early and go home so he's set up by 4.
So we'll have anything that affects the Patriots on Patriots.com. And, of course, we'll be back Tuesday with another edition of PFW in Progress. See you then. Nobody up in this world.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.